of creating a dynasty. How's everybody this morning? Energized and alive. Go ahead and grab your seats. Grab your seats. We're going to go ahead and get started. A couple housekeeping. How many of you guys used your cell phone this morning? Can you grab it? Out. Can you go to your photo screen or wherever you hashtag? Do you guys hashtag? Do you know hashtag? Like, I'm totally out of my comfort zone right now because I don't even know what hashtag and if it's Twitter or if it's not. Social media? Sorry, thank you. So, selfie with the people behind you, right? And then hashtag creating a dynasty. Get posted, everybody. Get your post. Get your post in this morning. Social media post. Hashtag creating a dynasty. Okay, so now while you have your phone out, if you can turn it off. Everybody turn them off. Like not to silent, to off. You know the wonderful thing about like walking through the room and helping people with tissues and Kleenex is you see how many people are on their phone. You see how many people are answering their phones, texting, checking Facebook, what we're talking about here this weekend. So I'm going to encourage you, especially for today. Today is day two. We got rid of all of that crap last night. I saw so many of you stand up last night. So if you stood up last night, turn it off and disconnect today. Disconnect. I encourage you to do so. You got to break the cycle. And you don't want to invite that puppy back in. So, welcome back. We're excited for today. If you guys can help me welcome up Carl and Christine Frushon, our newlyweds. Woo woo!
Thank you, my warrior brothers and sisters.
Yes. Carl, will you share with us your 30-second story?
Sure. Prior to plugging into this amazing community, I was at the top of my career. I was in the top 2% of the United States Air Force. I had just retired as a colonel in the United States Air Force, one step below general officer. Thank you. I thought that I had reached success, but instead God had something else in mind because I got that 2x4 upside the head. My second marriage failed. My kids ran away. I was in a black hole of debt. I was stricken with cancer. I didn't know what to go do. I was lost. Found this community through this amazing woman. And since that point in time, we've paid off over $150,000 in debt. Found $5,200 in fat. This month is our third year coming to Dynasty. We've been to every Dynasty except for one in that time. I started out being that guy in the back row with the cell phone out because they didn't follow directions turning it off. And I was thinking, I'm a colonel in the Air Force. I could teach this stuff. My ego was in my bank account,
right?
Okay, and I found humility here, and I found honesty, and I found the most integrity in all the people compared to anything I've ever been in before. And we plugged in. We ran to the back room, and we bought the entire content. We started attending events. You know, that picture that was the seeds up there of the trees? it's not just one seed produces the orchard. It's every single seed you plant, and you have to keep coming back to crack those seeds open to reach that goal and success. And now we have $1.3 million in cash-producing assets. We made a commitment last Dynasty in November to attend every single event. And since that point in time, and we also made the commitment to each other to honor the Creator, honor the creation, and become in alignment. And such a blessing has occurred since then. Raised over $750,000.
I'm going to stop real quick. What does coming into alignment mean? What did you guys do?
We were living life by default. And we realized by coming here that our relationships in the past, we were just repeating the destiny that was planted by all that programming in the past. Mm-hmm. We didn't know how to break that cycle, and we were doomed to a third relationship that was going to go down that path clearly.
And what did you guys do when you were in Israel?
What did we do when we went to Israel? We got married.
Yes, that's the alignment. That's where they came into alignment. And what has God done since then?
And since then, everything is becoming in alignment. We're making purpose for every decision and thing that we're doing. We're planting those seeds with purpose in the right soil. And creating new businesses that are taking us places that we never dreamed of. But so the most important thing is the relationship and the foundation that by doing that, we have set the stone that are going to last for thousands of years and for an entire generation. And that's what our goal is.
Awesome. Awesome. And Christine, I just want to, how'd you get him here? Like, what did you say to get him here?
Oh, what I say?
Yeah.
Well,
did you tell him all about the event?
No, I told him nothing. We had just been dating a couple months, and he had me accompany him to just a conference that was just me accompanying him to a conference. So I had a conference coming up. And so Danny was coming to Los Angeles, and we were out, that's where we are in Redondo Beach. And so I said, hey, you know, you accompanied me to want to have a conference. Would you just come and accompany me? And so.
That's awesome.
That's how he ended up at the back of the room with his arms closed going, I teach this stuff, you know.
Right. So, that's awesome. Yeah. You guys have a tremendous story, and Christine, I know you were in education, and I know that you've homeschooled, you had daycare centers and things like that. Mm-hmm. You have partnered alongside with Carl. You guys are doing two businesses now. You've got multiple streams of income coming in, and again, $150,000 paid off in 36 months. That's 3 years since you guys, like, came, really? Started. So Dynasty was your defining moment.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you both for your commitment, your dedication, and how you follow directions. That is the most important part, and we thank you for leading by example. We thank you for being up here. We thank you for all that you've poured into this community, for volunteering this weekend. And if you guys want to grab your seats, we're going to welcome Dani back and have her slowly make her way up here. give them a hand,
thank
you guys.
You.
Give them a good hand. Turn it up.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away. Come on, brother, come on. You don't fight fair. That's okay. See if I care. Knock me down. It's all in vain. I get right back on my feet again. Hit me with your best shot. Why don't you hit me with your best shot?
It's not. There we go. Hi. Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm telling you, man, for an emerald, adding extra steps to my life is jacking me up. Serious. Adding this extra step to my morning, I spilled a whole bottle of powder. My favorite powder. Where's my sugared up girl? Xtina. I dropped sugared. My most favorite powder ever. Just poof. So I take my robe and I start putting it over my face and on my chest. I put it on my banjo. I put it on my shoe. I'm like, I like this powder. And now the floor is eating it. So I'm leaving the hotel room, okay? I'm like, I feel, well, first of all, we forgot the mic down here, right? So we don't have the mic. This, I'm being dressed right now, isn't it? Woo! Anyway, so I forget. I'm coming out of the hotel room in the wheelchair, of course. And I'm like, I feel like I'm forgetting something. I don't know what I'm forgetting. Wait, it's not on. She has to tape me. It's not even there. So anyway, so we get out. I'm sorry. I'm killing time and you're going to laugh. Try again. You're not doing it very well. Laugh! Okay, so anyway, so we're leaving the hotel room, you know, and I'm being pushed everywhere. And by the way, our escort, he's been coveting my little knee wheeler since I got here on Tuesday. Ajay. You say A-H-R-J-A-Y is his name. Anyway, Ajay from Boston. Anyway, thank you.
Am I on? Yes. Okay. Oh, I just pulled it out.
Let me tuck you a little differently.
Anyway. So I'm leaving the hotel room and I'm like, gosh, I feel like I'm forgetting something. I don't know what it is. Okay, so we go down the elevator. We get off the elevator. We go down this long corridor and Mona goes, there he is. And it's like from here to the resource table and I can't see the person. And I realize I forgot my contact. So I can't see you. It's been a morning.
Would you like this?
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
I told you I listened to her that this was a new level of
playing to win.
Playing to win.
We are at a new level.
Playing to win.
And
amen.
Let me tell you, how many of you have perfect circumstances when you walk out the door or when you wake
come
up
on,
in the
girl.
Morning? How many of you play to win when it looks like doo-doo out there
and it hits
you in the face?
Come on now.
This woman, she said, oh, bring it now. Come on. You want to shut me down? You want to shut this mouth? No. We play
amen.
To win.
That's right.
We play to win. We are playing to
that's
win.
That's right. Amen.
Nothing's going to stop her.
Amen.
Why?
Amen.
So
amen.
You can see it. So you can know it.
Yes.
If she
yes.
can do it, I
yes.
can do it. If
yes.
you can do it, I can do it. Spread the word. Show your stuff. Show your scars.
Amen.
Show
amen.
Your pain. That's
amen.
How people win.
Amen.
Not by a perfect example.
Come on now.
By a real example.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes. That's it right there. That seriously is it. Do you understand? That's how you roll. You stay focused on playing to win. It doesn't matter what fumbles you have. It doesn't matter how many times you throw a bad pass. It doesn't matter if things don't go right. You still play to win. The ones who lose are the ones who get discouraged when the ball gets fumbled, when they throw the brick, when it doesn't go right, when the other team seems to be stronger than you are, that's when the 98%ers fold. Come on, fold. And some people are fast fold. Quick quitters. That's not you. That's not who you're called to be. That's not who you're marked to be. That's not who you're anointed to be. You're called to rise up, step up, and do something great with your life. That's what you're called to do. Regardless of what's broken in your life, regardless of what's broken in your heart, in your head, in your mind, your eyes, your foot, it don't matter. You're called to win. And right now, we're going to teach you how to win in the face of adversity. Right now, we're going to show you how to rise up in your level of leadership that is more than your management and most of your families and most of the people who run the companies that you're working with or for. You're going to rise up in a level of leadership this morning that is going to be life-giving. Let me tell you something. Conflict is important in life. Conflict has a purpose for your life. Conflict helps you to rise and helps your team to rise, your family to rise. You see, it's in conflict that creates trust. Without conflict, everyone lives on the surface, never getting to intimate places, nor the greatest of all discoveries, innovation, ideas, or breakthroughs. It's in conflict that breakthrough is created. Without conflict, there is no breakthrough. Did you hear me? Without conflict, there is no trust. Without conflict, there is no innovation. It's conflict that creates opportunities. And most of us walk through life trying to avoid conflict. We don't want to step on toes, rock boats, hurt people's feelings. Now, I'm not saying leave here and purposely go hurt feelings. No, feelings are already hurt. Feelings are already hurt. Hearts are already broken. Finances are already a mess. What we will do is bring restoration in the midst of conflict. What you're about to learn how to do is to no longer be afraid of conflict, but to hit it head on. And to not hit it head on like a 3-year-old or a 7th grader. That the 7th grade Ruby goes, "Bruh." That's a low level of leadership. The 7th grade Emerald is going to prove that somebody's wrong. This is not a high level of leadership. The 7th grade Pearl is going to run and hide, take cover. And the Sapphire is going to go, "Ha-ha, everything's cool. Everything's fine. It's okay. We don't have to talk about this." How many of you are naked right now based on everything I just said? Naked. Naked as a jaybird. Are jaybirds naked? I don't think naked. I don't think they're naked. They're covered. Whoever came up with that stupid saying? Drives me crazy. These sayings that fly out of my mouth. Like it hurts like a mother. Where did that come from? Thanks for the clarity, Chris. I needed that. So listen to me, friends. In order to play to win, you have got to learn how to deal with conflict. And you have to have the skill sets, the scripting, the mindset, and the heart set to be able to handle it at an executive level. Because largely the reason why we are not able to grow in our wealth is because of this one thing right here. No joke. We either run, hide, change the subject. We don't deal with it. We hope it's going to go away. We want to ignore it and hope the thing passes. No. No. I have watched companies go under because of people not knowing how to resolve conflict. No joke. I've watched companies that are $500 million go under because the head of the organization did not know how to handle conflict. I watched another company go from 10 million to 200 million in 4 years and then go to 0 millions because that leader didn't know how to resolve conflict. He was the run and hide guy, getting letters from the FDA and the FTC and just putting them in the filing cabinet. Saying, they can't touch me. Oh, baby. You don't do that with them. You don't posture like that with them. If you decide to learn and master this skill, there's no end to the amount of money you can make. There's no end to the legacy that you will build. There is no end to the harmony, the peace that will happen in your home, not only your home, but your children learning how to do this as well, to where they are able to confidently hit conflict head on without anger, without freaking out, but to address an issue in restoration and love with that being the goal in mind. And to be able to come out unscathed, but not only unscathed, but the blessing of intimacy coming along with them, which means that the family and the business gets stronger through every conflict versus getting weaker through every conflict. Friends, you do know that you're going to hit conflict for the rest of your life, correct? You see, people get divorced so they think that if they married the right person, there would be no conflict. And then they get married again. And guess what they find? More conflict. and then they get a divorce, and then they get married again, and then they find more conflict, and then, hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't run from it. You can't run from it. So no matter what personality you are going to get a script today. You're going to get the cojones today. You're going to get the confidence today. You're going to get the vision today. You're going to be equipped and empowered today in a way that majority of the people on the planet are not. And when a conflict arises, you're going to have the opportunity to make the choice. Am I going to be angered, or am I going to use wisdom and use what I've been empowered to do? Am I going to use what I know to use, that I know what the outcome will be? That choice will be yours. But prior to this training, you don't have that choice, because most of us were not trained in the home or in the school or in our jobs on how to disarm dissension, how to bring restoration to a conflict, and how to build trust and intimacy and strength inside the relationships. So I'm so excited about what you and I are going to do here this morning, because conflict will not be anything you're afraid of any longer. You're going to have tools in your hand about how to handle it, but how to turn it into a win versus a loss. You see, sports is all about conflict. You're like, what? Yeah, there's an opponent. Without the opponent, there is no game. What does the opponent bring? Conflict. They want the ball. They want to score. So do you. There is a problem. Do you understand? The job market is a conflict. Business is all conflict. Watch. How many of you know there are competitors competing against whatever you do? What is that? Conflict. That's conflict. There's conflict everywhere. Two people, opposite sexes, with histories and baggage and bad seed that was planted in them, with bad habits and good habits coming together. What is that? Conflict. On multiple different levels. So conflict can make you successful. It's opportunity for you to become ever more successful in every area of your life, or you can choose the 98% path. Take cover, run, explode, make light of it and pretend it's not happening. How many of you have tried those methods? How well is it working? It's not, okay? So let's get equipped in a powerful way to be able to do this. And here's why. We're on our journey for creating a dynasty right now. That's where we're at. So yesterday, what did we do? We dug up some soil. We were able to loosen up some roots of some trees that had some dark fruit on it that you do not want to be a part of any longer. You had the opportunity last night to cancel the curse, destroy the roots. You had the opportunity then to receive new seed. Some of you woke up this morning going, it didn't work. What was that all about? Was that a waste of time? Guess who's talking to you? Guess who's talking to you? Okay? That is the liar, the deceiver. I want you to have an understanding by the time you leave this weekend to be able to discern the voice of your father, your own voice, and the voice of your enemy. Amen. That you no longer bow down to the voice of the enemy, but that you only bow down to the one true voice that you're supposed to be listening to. And that's the one who has good feelings, good thoughts, and adoration for you. Is for you and not against you, and that no weapon forged against you will prosper. That voice is the one to guide, to lead, to guard, to govern our lives, and not anybody else's. So some of you woke up this morning feeling awesome. Some of you woke up this morning going, if it's, you're in conflict. You have a choice to use the new seed that's just gotten in the ground, friends. The new seed was just planted in the ground. So what does it mean you see? Nothing. New seed's been planted in the ground and you see nothing. This is where you hold on to the facts. And what's the facts? The tree is on its way. That's on its way. That's the truth. I know. How many of you know seed was planted in you that was good yesterday? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt. What's the guarantee of the seed? The harvest. The guarantee of the seed is the harvest. The guarantee of the seed is the harvest. The guarantee of the seed is the harvest. So that's what you cling to today. I know that good seed. How many of you know that you know that you know good seed was planted? How many of you have no doubt that good seed was planted? How many of you have no doubt that life and death is in the power of your tongue? How many of you learned yesterday that you can receive what you want to receive and you can reject what you do not want to receive? Okay? So you're about to walk through a circumstance. We're going to create a safe environment because on your journey of creating a dynasty, it is what? It's looking at the fruit, confessing the fruit, destroying the one you don't want, imparting the stuff that you do want. It's learning to listen to what's going through your head, holding every thought. Okay? Receiving what you want, rejecting what you don't want. Now you're awake. Now you're awake versus your mind being on autopilot. When your mind's on autopilot, it's training you for 98%. When you are awake and alive, you are programming yourself for what? 2%. So in our journey last night, we had an amazing, fulfilling time all the way till midnight last night. Phenomenal experiences that we all got to share. Now we start this day. And with this day, we get equipped to face what's in front of us so that we no longer are afraid of what's in front of us, that we can hit it head on. So we're going to call fear's bluff. Praise Lord. Did you hear me? You're going to call fear's bluff because fear is going to want to come on you and you're going to say, sorry, not today. I rebuke fear. Fear is not a part of my life. Go back to hell where you belong. Amen. Got it? Fear is not a part of my life. Doubt is not a part of my life. Go back to hell where you belong. Do you understand me? Okay. So in this journey of equipping you for leadership, I need you to follow directions this morning. You're not going to want to follow directions. You're going to push through the rebellion who wants to control you. You're going to push through the Pharisee who's going to say, I don't want to do this and it's not biblical. You're going to push through the Pharisee that says it's not my personality. You're going to push through the self-righteousness. And you're going to trust that tens of thousands have walked through what I'm about to walk you through before. And everything comes out really, really amazing on the other side. Really, really amazing on the other side. Can I tell you something? I learned something last summer that really was profound for me. And what it was this. You know, I was afraid of shame. I used to avoid any thoughts of shame. It used to kind of terrify me because I've done a lot of shameful things in my life. You can only imagine, right? I mean, I've told you a lot of stuff. How many of you have almost been embarrassed for me? Like how much crap I've told you, like that poor thing. And how many of you felt better about yourself? You're like, I am nowhere near as evil as what she was, right? And how many of you have been inspired? You're like, shoot, man, if God could do something with that, he could do something with me because I am nowhere near as bad off as she was, right? So shame was something that I didn't even realize had talked to me. And so I would just try to like tuck it, tuck it, tuck it. And it was really interesting. I went through an experience where I felt my father drawing me in to face shame. Drawing me in to face it. And initially I was like, no, 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 no. This has to be from the evil one. No, 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 no. No, I'm not supposed to feel this. I'm not supposed to go there. And I just felt this thing. Trust me, walk in this shame. Walk in this shame. Walk in it. Feel it. I want you to feel it. And something so powerful, you're like, what? I could see it on some of your faces. You're like, what? No way, yeah. Because guess what was on the other side of the shame? Freedom. Freedom was on the other side of shame. What was on the other side of shame was his love. It was as though he used the shame to bring me through, to show me, yeah, this is what you think you are. This is what others have said you are. But let me tell you who you are. And he used that shame for me to feel that, then to walk me the other side and go, you're the daughter that I love. You're loved. That can't touch you. This has no power over you. So let me tell you something. I learned this about fear. Fear used to grip me, every part of me. It used to grip me in my marriage, used to grip me as a parent. I used to think my kids are gonna hate me. I literally feared night and day that my children were gonna hate me. I used to ask teenagers who used to come and live with us, family members. I was like a pseudo mom for all these other moms and kids that, like moms that didn't know how to teach their daughters how to be daughters. Like, can I send her to you? Sure, no problem. I'll take her on. She can change some diapers. But I used to ask them, like, are my kids gonna hate me? Like, why do you say that? I don't know. I just feel like they're gonna hate me. I just feel like they're gonna hate me. So these used to grip me. And I remember one day, allowing myself to feel the fear on purpose, like, And it was the trippiest thing. It was almost like an out-of-body experience. It was like, I see what you're doing. I get it. You're trying to stop me from something. You're trying to stop me from something. Oh, really? Oh, really? You're trying to stop me from something. Okay, the fear of the unknown. Well then, I think I'm just gonna go see what the known is. Just because you're trying to stop me, I want to see what's on the other side. Guess what I found on the other side of fear? Freedom, blessing, the dreams that came true, the opportunities that I was afraid wouldn't happen. As I stepped through and just kept walking with the fear, I'm like, come on, fear, let's go check this out. All right, come on. Come on, let's go. Let's see what's over here. Oh, because you know why? Fear was afraid of me seeing what was on the other side. Fear was afraid of me seeing what was over there. Fear was afraid of me experiencing what was on the other side. Because why? Because then fear had no power over me anymore. Power was gone. And the same with shame. And the same with doubt. So as soon as you see it, you're like, don't react. Respond like, oh, hi. Hi there. Sucker. All right, yeah, so what's the worst that could happen? All right, so my kids hate me. Yeah, you know what? I got this promise that says that he will make all things new. And you know what? I'm not a perfect parent. Never gonna be a perfect parent. And me trying to be a perfect parent probably will have my kids hate me. And you know what? He's the perfect parent and his kids sometimes hate him. But he works out all things together for good. All things work together for good. So have fun, fear. I'm just gonna go try it and see what happens. So you're going to practice that today. You're going to practice looking at fear in the face, doubt in the face, seeds that you don't want to receive, and you're going to simply go, let's just see what happens. Let's explore this thing. What's on the other side of this thing? Ready? So we're going to have the papers turned, passed out to you. I want them face down. Do not read them. Sapphires, rubies. Sapphires and rubies. Do not read them. Don't turn them over. Just keep them face down for me for the sake of the exercise. As these are being passed out to you, you're going to turn the chairs around. We're going to be turned around for most of the day today for some amazing, phenomenal, strengthening, and empowering exercises. Let's go. Tab one. It's behind tab one. Thank you. Oh my gosh, this is going to be an amazing day. I can feel it. I woke up 2 hours earlier than I was supposed to. We're on track. We're scoring.
It's got a little drip on the edge. And this is here because you've been yelling a lot.
Here's one quick instruction. All of you grads, get away from each other.
Nice.
Get away. Get away. Sorry. You can stay there, but you ain't with them. Get away. Go. Get away from each other. The dynasty grads, get away from each other. Go away. Get out of your seats. Move somewhere else. Go to the back. Get away from each other. I don't want you hanging out all day. Get away. Get away. Dynasty grads, move your butts. I don't want you around the same people. I want you meeting new people. Everyone meet new people. We got first time seats open right here in the front row. You're a grad, honey. Don't you dare think about sitting there. Oh my gosh, I love your dress. Right over there. Adorable outfit. Those shoes, everything. You look amazing. Thank you. The heel? My heel? This one? It's like 14 years old? I'm walking on my heel?
You're walking in a heel.
I know. You're right. If you got seats next to you, shh. I shouldn't have done it. It was a bad idea. That's exactly what I thought. Pixie dust. Okay, shh. Okay, now what I need everyone to do, if there's seats open, raise your hands. If there's seats open, raise your hands. People that are standing, get over here. Come on, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. We got an entire, okay, so that row, no, let's do this. Everybody in that third, fourth row, stand up, move to the center. Stand up, move to the center. Move to the center. Everybody scoot to the center aisle. If we're missing seats somewhere in the middle, scoot, 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 scoot. Move your butt. Move your butt. You guys can do it. I know you can. Awesome job. Phenomenal. Okay. Awesome. Perfect. Love it. Love it, love it. We have a seat in the front row open. Okay, now, I would like for any incomplete groups, a group of two, a group of three, a group of one. I'm going to burp. I didn't. Thank you, Chad. How's that for teamwork? He's like, nope, I'm not letting her do that. I promise you, the whole room would hear it without the mic. A whole room. Sadly, I have burping skills. I know I am proud of it. Isn't that terrible? I rate myself every time. There's only a couple people in my life that have ever tried to compete. Only a couple. I know, you wouldn't. You're a good Southern guy. They don't burp. bah, I'm from California. Bah. Shh. Guys are so good. Hey, beautiful girl with the yellow shirt that I want. I'm kidding. Yes, I'm talking to you. Beautiful girl, yellow shirt. Who's sitting next to you? And check out her wonderful, like, Brazilian accent. New Zealand. New Zealand. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, so somebody is on their way. Okay, I need to know which groups do not have groups of everybody, one for all, for one. If there's not four fists, if there is not four fists, stand up. If there is not four fists, stand up. Shh, you guys don't have to talk. If there's not four fists, stand up. Thank you so much.
That was me.
If there's not four fists, stand up. Okay, hold on. We got another one right here. Not four fists, stand up. The whole group stands up if you are not four fists. Wait, 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 wait. Time out. Is there somebody coming? Oh, he's passing them out? Matt, okay. So we have two guys right here, and we've got three women over here. Oh, they're full now? You're amazing. Is there a group back there that's not full? Is it one woman that has nobody? She's like, one. You need one? Then the whole group needs to stand up. Whole group, stand up. That's incomplete. This helps us solve the problem. Okay, whole group stands up. Awesome. Wait, that's four people now? Look, you guys are a group of four now with that gorgeous man. No, you're standing up just... Wait, what's going on? Sit your butt down if you're a group of four. Now we're a group of four. What just happened? Why are you standing? Now you're... Now you tell me about it, huh? Okay, wait. So wait, are you a group of what? If the group is not a group of four, the whole group stands up. Are you a group of four or not? Group, stand up. You need one person. Stay standing. Stay standing. What? What are you pointing at? The person is coming. Is it that woman in the turquoise shirt carrying the gigantic tent on her back? What do you think this is? Camping at Yellowstone Park? That'd be so fun if we did that one day. That we all went camping together. Oh my gosh, I would love that. No cell coverage. That would be amazing. My, boom, 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 boom. Wow, we could totally live like the Israelites for a week. That would be so fun. Look at some people are like, nah, you can go that on your own. I glamp only. I personally like to camp. Shh. Thank you. Honey, do you know how many years I camped? Years and years and years and years and years and years and years I camped. Yeah. I've camped many more times than you have, I promise. Partially because I'm older than you. But the other partially is that we love to camp. Yes. Went camping for one of my anniversaries. How's that? That's liking to camp. Lots of fun things happen in a tent. Anyway, and you can't break it. If you have an air mattress, you can. Anyway, shh. Hot marriage secrets coming up. I'm so excited. All right, it's called Get a Life Again. Get out of your prison of marriage. Okay, what's going on back there with the beautiful Asian girl? We have two loose people. One's an emerald. The other one has great skin. Okay, so then we need two. We literally just have two people. Oh, Issa, I'm gonna pause you on. There we go. What are you doing, Mister? He's like, I have a place. Okay. Okay, we need two people. Okay, fine. Say what? We have two people, Diane and Issa. Perfect, Issa, because I'm calling you off of that instruction I gave you yesterday because we weren't able to capture anything last night and most of yesterday. So we're going to cancel that whole idea that I gave you yesterday. We missed last night, so it's not going to happen. So if you can get into that group, that would be awesome. What are you doing, Mr. Yellow with the great goatee? Did he lose his seat? He lost his seat when we have somebody that needs a seat. Butch, right over there. Okay, you ready? Here's how this is going to work. Now, listen, let me tell you something. My husband taught me something really powerful. What's wrong? How do you need two more people? Oh. Who doesn't have papers? Raise your hands if you need papers. Thanks for speaking up. You are not the only one, beautiful. Okay, here's my husband taught me, yes, thank you so much for keeping that turned down. I appreciate it greatly for following my procedures and policies. Okay, policies and procedures. All right, so my husband taught me something really, really powerful. It's the concept of an offensive mindset. That when you're in the face of fear or adversity or conflict, you go offense, not defense. He really just reminded me of something that I learned as a little girl playing basketball. You cannot score on defense. You can only score on offense. You can only win on offense. You can have a powerful defense, but if you do not have a more powerful offense, you lose. The only way to win is with offense. So right now, I want you to put your offensive mindset on, and I want you to attack this. What we're going to do is create a conflict. I want you to write down 5 things you do not appreciate about the people in your group. This is just a game. This is a safe place. On your mark, by the way, you have 2 minutes to do so. So attack it to win it, as those are $100,000 prize on the other side. I'm looking for the first 100 people that are going to get it done. On your mark, get set, go! We'll be right back. and you do not appreciate about each person in the group to stand up.
Is this thing on?
How many of you are standing have two things per person written down? Two or more things written down. Okay. Sit down. Breathe. Okay. Now, here's what we're going to do. Remember our diagram that's not on the board anymore? The 1, 2, 3, 4. Person number one, raise your hand. Person number one, raise your hand. Number twos. Number threes. Number fours. Number five. Number one. Two. Three. Four. One. Four. Two. Three. Okay, you know who you are. Okay, you ready? Hold on. We're going to be playing some musical chairs today, and we're about to have a whole lot of fun. Go offensive mindset. Run straight into this exercise with everything you got, because how many of you want to get really good at disarming conflict? How many of you want to get really good at disarming dissension? How many of you want to get really good at being the go-to person that knows how to solve the toughest people problems? Because the bigger the problems you solve, the bigger the... Yes. The bigger the problem you solve, the bigger the paycheck. And every gem has the capacity to be really good at this. Every gem has the capacity to be really, really good at this. And you are going to be awesome at this. So, person number one and person number two locate each other. And person three and four locate each other. Now, person one and two are going to discuss what they wrote down about three and four. But it's okay, because three and four are going to discuss what they wrote down about one and two. One and two, shh. One and two are going to talk about three and four. Three and four are going to talk about one and two. 2 minutes, go. Rocking it. Okay. Shh. You know, this is so interesting. You guys just had more fun talking to... I did not have to tell you to smile. I didn't have to tell you about eye contact. I didn't have to tell you about any of that stuff yesterday. So it must be that you learned all these skills since yesterday. Either that or you're really enjoying this. Okay, next. Now, 1 and 4 locate each other. And 2 and 3. That's awesome. Just making sure you're awake. Anyway, so 1 and 4 look at each other. 2 and 3 look at each other. Because now 1 and 4 are going to discuss what they wrote down about 2 and 3. And it's okay because 2 and 3 is going to discuss what they wrote about 1 and 4. Go! Guys are so invigorated. Okay, now what I need is I need 1 and 2 to switch chairs. 1 and 2, switch chairs, please. Okay, now let's go through this to make sure you know who the new you are. So now, chair number 1, raise your hands. Number 2, number 3, number 4. One more time. 1, 2, 3, 4. You got it. Okay, so now the new number 1 and 4 are going to talk about 2 and 3, and 2 and 3 are going to talk about 1 and 4. On your mark, get set, go! We'll be right back. You guys are awesome. Okay. Here we go. This is awesome. This is awesome. All right. Good job. You created conflict. And that was the point of this part of the exercise, is creating conflict. And guess who creates conflict? Who do? Who do? Good job. Good job. Okay, so I want you to just think about that for a minute. Think about that for just 1 minute. Who creates conflict? Mm-hmm. You see, there's something so very powerful about humility. Humility owns their part of the mess. Ego blames other people for the mess. Humility realizes that if they're not currently in a mess, they've created ones before. So when they find somebody else that has created a mess, they're not coming from a place of judgment. But they're coming from a place of compassion and mercy. I want that to sink in. When we're filled with pride and arrogance, we get very upset that somebody else has gossiped, stabbed us in the back, thrown daggers at us, discounted our character, didn't do what they should have done. When we're walking in arrogance, those are the things that float through our hearts. But when we choose humility, that's when we go, I have done the same thing. I have been that same person from time to time in my life. And here's the issue. When you have touched remorse for your mistakes and your failures, how do we get to touch the remorse of our mistakes and failures? Think about it. Owning it. It's only when we own our mistakes and our failures do we learn from them. But when we deflect or defend or blame, we've robbed ourselves of the opportunity of learning from our mistake. So guess what we get to do? We get to do it again. We get to fail again. And we get to create a bigger failure next time. And if that bigger failure the next time still has not touched the remorse button in us, the humility button in us, guess what? We get to do it again. But guess what happens next time? It's bigger. It's bigger every single time until we own it. So when we own it, that's when we're in humility. Now, how many of you have conflict inside of your work life? And how many of you have things like this happen in your work life where people are stabbing each other in the back, okay? And or they've got dissension against each other. They're mad at each other. They're angry with each other. They're frustrated with each other. How many of you experience this at work? Guess what? Our office experiences it too. Of course. Do you think that our office is in heaven? We have humans in our office. And I'm the worst one. Yeah, I promise. I'm the worst one. Yeah, I'm the filthiest for sure. No one else has screwed up as much as me. No one else has made more mistakes than I've made. And I have to tell you something. When emeralds have the expectation of perfection, you're setting yourself up to fail, and you're setting others up to fail. Have the expectation that people are humans and everyone's learning. So I'm going to ask this question again. How many of you have conflict and frustration at work? And how many of you also have it at home? that mom's personality is a pearl emerald and her daughter is a sapphire ruby and they're driving each other crazy. Guess what that is? Conflict. Mr. Summer, I read your question. I read everybody's questions. So that's conflict. This exercise is to teach you how to disarm it, how to disarm the dissension that arises in conflict, but instead we're going to build trust in the conflict, okay? So humility says, I have been in this place before, I have screwed up in this before, and when you have felt the remorse of the screw up, you are likely to have compassion on the others who are currently screwing up. Yes. Arrogance brings judgment. Judgment with no mercy, no compassion. Wow. So if you find yourself judging somebody because they gossiped, because they screwed up, because they dropped a ball, because they didn't handle a problem that was supposed to be handled, if you've got judgment in your heart against them, judge not lest you become what you judge. If there's judgment there, it's because you've lost sight of what you've been forgiven for. You've lost sight of your humanness and have exalted yourself as a Pharisee. Has exalted yourself as someone better than someone else. And there's only one position after you reach that position. Can you tell me what position is after the high and lofty position? What comes before a fall? Pride. Pride comes before the fall. So, we're going to touch some remorse right now on purpose. Because we can't really teach you how to do this without creating the remorse and creating the conflict. I could teach you with my mouth, but you ain't going to learn it. You have to experience it in order to learn it, right? And again, this is a controlled environment. This is after everything we did yesterday. Your eyes have been open different. Your ears are open different. Your heart is open different. So you are able to see words. How many of you can see words now? How many of you see words as seed? Like you're more, how many of you have been more cautious in the last 24 hours about what's coming out of your mouth, right? How many of your ears have been pierced and you're actually hearing things differently than you were hearing them yesterday, right? That was the point of the listening exercise. Do you see the journey I'm bringing you through to bring you to this point? So here's the deal. Number one, gossip without confrontation kills production. It does. Kills production. It creates dissension. Dissension kills production. It kills it. Whether you are a contractor on a job site, if everybody hates each other, people are mad at each other, people are getting ticked off, flying off the handle, cussing each other out, guess what kind of production you get? You get low production. Okay? If that continues, you lose your best players on your team. That's what happens. The best players will leave the team because of the jerks that are on the team. They're going to go find some other place to work. That's in banking. That's in real estate. That's in direct sales. That's in the home. Do you understand? So what I'm saying to you is that conflict is going to be there. It's what we do with it that determines whether or not we win. So those are the circumstances. But if I hit it head on with the right heart, and the right heart is what?
Humility.
Humility is the right heart. So if I hit it with humility, then we win. If I hit it with dissension and I let it brew, the longer it brews, the more frustration there is, then from frustration is outbursts of rage, outbursts of anger. How many of you hate it when you do that? How many of you like to prevent it, not suppress it? There's a big difference between preventing it and suppressing it. How many of you have tried suppressing your rage? What happens? it explodes even bigger. When you suppress something, you're pushing it down for it to just go, it gets compacted, and then it explodes. But you can disarm dissension very easily by understanding you and other humans. It's very simple to make it happen. So I'm going to show you how to do it. Let me give you this really quick. So it kills production. Dissension kills production. It kills loyalty. It kills leadership. That if you are the one creating the dissension, it actually hurts your reputation. If you are the one furthering the dissension, so there's the starters of the dissension, okay? There are the carriers of the dissension, and then there are the ones who love to fan the dissension. I see this a lot in network marketing. It's out a lot in the corporate world too. It's everywhere. But I've watched in network marketing entire companies go under because of one rumor done by a distributor. I've watched entire sales forces be stolen from one company, brought to another because of one dissenter. Proverbs, it says that God hates dissension. He hates it. Hates it with a passion. It's evil. It's at the top of the list of evil. I'll tell you why. In the Hebrew, that gossiper, the dissenter, the one who's causing dissension, it is noted as a murderer. It's the same word as murder. You're murdering the reputation of somebody. You're murdering also a portion of the person that's hearing what you're saying about them. Because inside of them, now what they had was an idea of the person. Now that idea has completely changed. Now they are carrying this dissension inside of them. It is also said in the Hebrew that it kills their future. It's murder. Gossip in the Hebrew is literally considered murder. We also see this and confirm this in the Second Testament with Yeshua, who said, even if you say, he says, don't commit murder, do not lie, don't covet your, even if you say to your brother, you're wicked, you have committed murder. So there you go. Yeah. So it's a really big deal. It really can damage personally your reputation if you're the gossiper. You're the one that sows the seed. You will reap the harvest. So as leaders, you want to be somebody that holds up a higher level of leadership and use your mouth to speak life and use your mouth for productive things. Use your mouth for building vision versus tearing somebody else's down. Use your mouth to build up, to edify, to encourage, it says, to, as long as it is still yet today, encourage one another. So you can set up your reputation by becoming an encourager. No matter what your personality is, Emeralds, you could actually make an appointment for yourself to encourage 5 people every day, and you'll actually get it done. Sapphires just walk around with a hose coming out of their mouth called encouragement. Let me just encourage everything and everybody. They do. But they encourage what they like to see. You're going to learn later on today how to encourage what actually encourages a person. So you are in control of your personal reputation. Now, how many of you can imagine that there's been a lot of people say a lot of mean things about me? How many of you know it? How many of you have heard them? It's been going around here this weekend even. There's hotel rooms filled with people who've been gossiping about me this weekend. Yeah, no joke. You're like, how could that be? Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm not in control of anybody's heart but my own. So how is it that there's hotel rooms of people that are gossiping or saying mean things about me and judging my motives and making assumptions of where I'm really coming from? It's because that's in their own heart. That's coming out of their heart, therefore their mouth is speaking. And out of their own heart, they can completely convince themselves that I'm something that I'm not, either way, good or bad, good or bad. Out of their own heart of distrust, out of their own past, fears about religion or fears about money or fears about women. I mean, I am literally a great target. I really am. I don't talk right. I don't look right. I'm pretty jacked up. I don't have proper language. I'm a mess. So I'm an easy target for those who are a mess to judge. Yeah. Totally am. And I'm okay with that, finally. But do you know that I retired? My 4 years of retirement, do you know what provoked it? Gossip. I quit. Retired. Because of somebody that I helped who was down and out, $60,000 in debt, marriage was a mess. They were broke, 4 children. She asked me if I would teach her how to make 6 figures. No problem. Put 10 people in front of First Steps every single event, and you'll make no less than 100 grand your first year. She did exactly that. She failed. She made 125,000 her first year, working 20 hours a week. Right after she made that big money, well, that what happens to most of us the first time we make money, the same thing that happened to me the first time I made money, I became smarter than my mentor. I became smarter than the coach. I became smarter than the teacher. You know, it's that thing that Yeshua talked about in the Second Testament where he says that that the student is never smarter than the teacher. The teacher will always have that position. The student will always have that position. And when you dishonor that position, this is called pride that comes before a fall. Bottom line is if somebody has taught you something, there should always be honor in that place. Well, I didn't know that. So I made that mistake. So guess what came right back around at me? Same thing came at me. So she launched a whole bunch of grenades at my character that were completely false. And I couldn't handle it. It tormented me. So for 4 years, I did not help anybody except for people who came to my house, like Tim's sister, Laura Lee, Hans's cousin. That she's a teenager who was not happy with her parents and had no reason to not be happy with her amazing parents. She just was a teenager who had her head in her butt, like many teenagers and adults do. So long and the short of it was that I stayed in retirement because I was afraid of gossip. I was totally terrified of people's bad opinions of me. And there are some of you that's why you're staying where you're at. And why you refuse to rise up to a higher level of leadership because you don't want to be a target for people's lies and stabbing in the back. But then this hit me. What happens when my kids turn that age of 13 like Laura Lee and all of a sudden they decide they hate their mom? What happens when all of a sudden my kids go through their normal season of life of questioning everything they've been taught in the home? What happens when my kids are coming to that age, whether it's in their teens, their 20s, their 30s and 40s, where they all of a sudden launch grenades at me as their mother. And I realized I would be in a mental hospital. I wouldn't make it because I cared more about my kids' opinions of me than I cared anything else. And what does that mean? That I've given power. Yeah. I've given power over to somebody else to hold me hostage and in bondage. So I realized this is a big problem, and I began to pray, God, please help me, deliver me of this, because this is not good. And I looked back in my past of 10 years of making money, that was the thing that tripped me every single time. Is there anybody here that it trips you too? Yep. So I realized you can't fight it, but you can disarm it. You can take the power right out of it, and you're going to learn how to do that right now, okay? Okay. So it kills production. It hurts reputations. It hurts your reputation more than anything. It destroys trust. And it hurts your confidence. So how do we fix it? Jen, where did you go, friend? So here's how we're going to handle, or Mona, if you have what I need. Somebody has what I need. You have what I need? I need some poop. I know it is. As long as it didn't squish. Oh, thank you so much. So sorry. It's horribly inappropriate. Now, what is this? It's a big turd. It's a giant. It looks nice and soft. Didn't look like it hurt too bad coming out. Right? So, oh, sorry. I have increased my fiber because I am not as active as I was before I broke my leg. Can produce a little extra movement. Do you like some? Are you sure? Oh, geez. No? Would you like a bite? No bites today? You're going to pass? It's not your preference. Not today. Not today. Preference? Woo! So sorry. Do they have these in London?
They sure do.
They sure do. See, even those in London make poop sound just so sexy. Ever seen that before? Yeah, isn't that amazing? Now, look. What we're about to do is we're going to throw this in the middle of your group. Oh, sorry. Apologize. Hi, gorgeous. Want some? No. Yummy. So here's the deal. We're going to throw this in the middle of each one of your groups. Because right now, part of being able to resolve conflict is owning your part in the conflict. Owning your part in the mess. And we all just created this mess. Right here. Snuck out. Have you ever had it sneak out? Oh, sorry. Some of you, I can tell you're puckering. Hi. No. Are you sure? It's tasty. That had to be real. Want some? Not for you. Now, isn't this interesting? Now look. We just finished doing this. Creating this in our circle of friends, right? Hi. Want some? No, not today? No, thank you. No, thank you. See, I love these responses. No, thank you. No, it's not my preference. And that's exactly how I want you to treat the rest of this exercise. Because what we're going to do is we're going to own what we just did. And it's going to be now time to confess. I have said some things. You're like, what? I've said some things that I'm not proud of, and I'm really, really sorry. You're going to have the opportunity also to share what it was that you said about each other. Ooh. See, that's puckering up. Whoop. I saw it. Some of you like grew an inch right when I said it. You're like, whoop. Okay, so you will have the opportunity to share what it is that you said, and I'll give you that opportunity to do that. And here's the deal. If you choose to want to hear, it's going to be up to you whether or not you want to hear what somebody else said about you. That's up to you, okay? That's your decision. You don't have to. But if you choose to, here's what I want to tell you. That this is what's being thrown out. It's waste. This is waste. So the question is, what should you do with waste?
Ah.
in like a nice chewy morsel.
All of my natural food people are freaking out right now. Now look at you. You're like, disgusting. Why? No, Danny, don't. Ah, it smells. Why would we not want to smell it, taste it, savor it? Why? Tell me why. It's toxic. It'll make you sick. It's toxic and it'll make you sick. And that's exactly what gossip and dissension does to us. Gossip and dissension makes us sick, and it is toxic, and it hurts. So that is why we do not want to take a bite out of it. That's why we don't want to savor it. That's why we want to do what with it? What was that? Flush that thing. Flush that thing, which means that you don't even take it. Okay? So how many of you have ever been in an experience where gossip has gotten back to you? And you have found out that someone stabbed you in the back, right? You have found this out, right? And what has been your response to being stabbed in the back? Anger. What else? Hurt. Bitterness. Retaliation. Defense. Dishonor, right? Victim. Exactly. That was me. Victim. I'm going to now hide for 4 years because I can't get over it. How ridiculous. How immature I was 18 years ago. That was so unbelievably immature of me. I laid down my gifting. I laid down my life for a gossiper. Totally ridiculous. So that's what it produces in us. And why? Because we took a bite out of it. So you see, you have felt the pain of eating toxicity. But you have the choice. You can leave it in the toilet. It's the truth. You have that choice. And so look, remember, words are seed. And you can let the person say their opinion, say what they said. Okay? And you can let them own it. They can own what they said. You do not have to take it. You don't have to take it onto yourself and eat it. You can literally go, you go ahead, keep that. Okay? And if you have to say even under your breath, I don't receive that. I don't receive that. Now, let me tell you another thing. If something comes up consistently and it stings, it might be something that you might want to look at. It might be something that you say, you know what? I might want to take a good look at that, because if this is a weakness I have, I want to see, should I do something about this weakness, or is it really not that big of an issue for me? Do you know what I mean? Say what? Yeah, that what they're saying, you know, they might say, I don't know, they might say something, I don't know. They might say something that for you, it might be something that you feel like I probably need to do something about. Could be a health thing, or do you know what I mean? It could be that, you know, maybe you have two gigantic black painted on eyebrows across your head and everyone said, you know, I don't know that your eyebrows really make a lot of sense. You're like, oh, wow, you didn't know that your eyebrows probably needed a little bit of grooming. You know what I mean? So when you have enough people say something about the giant, gigantic painted on huge eyebrows that are somewhere in the middle of your forehead, you know, and people are bringing it up, then you're like, well, maybe I should fix that. Does that make sense? Yeah, and here's the bottom line, but if you like your eyebrows big, thick, and black painted on in the middle of your forehead, you like it that way, then you'd be like, shoot, man, I like it this way. And I don't really care what anyone thinks about where my eyebrows are. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. So it's completely up to you as to whether or not you want to hear what people said. And by the way, some of us, the curiosity is going to kill us. Right? Some of us, the curiosity will kill us. Well, I want to know what you said, right? But here's the deal. Leave the poop in the toilet. Do not take it, okay? And I want you to practice this. And this is why this is a controlled environment, because this is going to happen to you leaving here. You realize that, right? It's going to happen leaving here. So my whole goal with this experience is for you to get strong enough to handle it when it happens, so that you now have a plan
That, okay, here it comes. I'm going to hear some things that are uncomfortable. I'm going to hear some things that I might not like, and I'm going to make the choice to not receive it. I'm going to make the choice to leave it outside of me, and I'm going to own the part of they get to own their stuff, and I don't have to eat this. This is not for me. That is them. Here's another thing I have to tell you. In leadership, you have got to have the ability to hear the opinions of other people. You have to have the ability to hear the opinions of other people. Most people don't, sadly. Most people cannot listen to the opinions of other people. The opinions of another person is whose opinion?
Theirs.
It's theirs. It's not yours. It's theirs. So in leadership, it's creating an environment where people can actually share what their opinion is. We give all of you the opportunity to rate us. We give all of you the opportunity to say what you don't like about us and what you like about us and why. So that we can get better and better. Not so that I can eat the poop. It's so that I can go, wow, you know what? 100 people said this. I might want to consider working on this. I might consider, meaning, okay, write this down. Everyone has blind spots. Everyone has blind spots. I rather know what mine are. I rather know what mine are. So at least I'm aware of them. Write this down. I know every day I'm going to screw up. I know every day I'm going to screw up. And so if someone's giving me an opinion and it's pointing out my screw up, what do I do with that? I learn, but how can I learn? There's only one way to learn.
Own it.
Own it. Own my mistake. Like, for example, I've been working on my language. Yeah, I have. I have done better this weekend so far. The weekend's not over. There's still plenty of opportunity for me to fail. But I have been working on my language. And why? Because a few people have been bringing it up again and again, and I don't want people to feel uncomfortable about that. I'm not going to change everything of who I am, but at the same time, it's like, you know what? I probably could dial that back a little bit. I probably don't need to be doing that. So this is something I've looked at and just said, you know, I'm gonna explore that. And the first thing I do is say, Father, do you want me to explore that? Because he's the ultimate opinion for me. So convict me, help me to put a catcher's mitt on my mouth. Because I used to drop F-bombs from the stage. I did. 20 years ago. Yeah, 20 years ago, I used to drop F-bombs from the stage. For 7 years, I dropped F-bombs from the stage. Why? It was a part of my everyday language. So I talked. It flew out. That doesn't happen anymore. It did happen recently somewhere. It was really bad. I cried like a baby for 3 days. So anyway, and that's the reason why I'm getting the catcher's mitt, because it's like, ooh, the more loose I get with my language, the better chances that that real one's going to fly out. Yeah, it's not good. Anyway, you know what's the worst going to happen? A bunch of people hate me. Well, they already do. Who cares? That's my attitude about it. But there's just some things that need to change. So you want to get to a place where you can hear other people's opinions and it not be something that you eat, but that you discover how other people think, you discover what their personality is, you discover what matters to them. And when you find patterns, then you can make a decision and an assessment, like, does it make sense for me to kind of work on this? If you have, like, you know, 5 people in your family say, you know, you're kind of really pushy and you don't listen to me. Okay, guess what? What should you do with that? You got 5 of your family members saying you're pushy and you don't listen. Do you get offended? Or do you, like, I'm really sorry, I probably need to work on this. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. All right, so we're going to throw some poop in the middle. We already started shifting poop all over the place. You just didn't realize how it was going on. You had fun smelling it. So let me give you some quick instructions. Do you want to step on the dress? Ooh! Excuse me. Okay. So here's how you do it. Here's how to resolve conflict. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Person number one, we're going to do this two different ways, okay? Now, one way is that you have heard that there's gossip. How many of you heard that there was gossip? Cool. That's the scenario we just created. You heard that there's gossip. And the leader who wants to grow an organization, the leader who wants to build trust, the leader who wants to be able to develop other leadership inside of their family or the organization, is you are going to sit down with the people who have been involved. Before you sit down with the people who have been involved, you're going to make sure you have a right heart. And the right heart happens in a moment. It doesn't happen in a year. It happens in a moment. You just heard something, right? So now you make the choice. Do I eat the poop or do I keep it outside of me? Well, keep it outside of me. So the only way to restore anything, guys, do we have the disarming dissension? No? Resolving conflict like a pro. Hold on. Yes, tab three. As they're passing this out, I am sweating like crazy. I'm giving you my notes, and there's some scripts in there on disarming dissension. That's just for your personal use. So how do we do it? Thank you. First off, is that you have to have a goal. And the goal needs to be restoration. That's the goal. The goal is not proving someone wrong, emeralds. The goal is not pressuring a confession. Did you hear me? The goal is not pressuring for a confession. That's not the goal. The goal, my pearls, is restoration. That's the goal, is restoration. Restoration will not come by ignoring it. Restoration's going to come by having a restorative conversation. So the goal is restoration. If you are on a job site, you're in an office, in the family, and you're seeing continuous badgering back and forth with two people, like I would see with my sons, for example, or my daughter, Erica, and my son, Cabe, for example, that there'd be this bam, right? These two would just be going at it with each other. You can't continue to let this going at each other happen because it's going to turn into something much, much bigger. And hatred is going to boil up inside of their hearts. Do you hear what I'm saying? My mom and my stepdad told us to go beat each other up. Sadly, my sisters and I have no relationship. The pain is too deep. There's no friendship between me and my sisters. Sadly, there's hatred. Now, one of my sisters is dead. She died at 21, as I told you at First Steps. My other sister's been a drug addict her whole life. She had a moment where she was clean. She went right back to the drugs. So there's so much hatred because we were taught to hate each other. So when I became a mom and I saw conflict rising up in my children, why? Because it's supposed to. And I use this skill right here that I'm teaching you to disarm that conflict with them. And my goal with them is that they would love each other, that they would have amazing relationships with each other. Well, two of my sons are here this weekend. Cabe arrived last night. He's our oldest son, child number three. Roman is here on staff working. And this morning when Cabe got up and he came in for breakfast, I'm like, hey, how was your night? It was good. He goes, we didn't even sleep. Roman and I were working together. We were laughing and talking all night long. Okay, why? That's what they do. These guys are close. Now, there was a time where it was a constant breaking up of fighting with those two. A constant. But this one I'm about to teach you brings restoration. So when you start to see the tension rising in your children, when you see it rising with your spouse, when you see the tension rising with coworkers, this is where you have the opportunity, regardless if you're the boss or not at work, you have the opportunity to pull the people together and to bring restoration to the situation. And guess what that will do for you in the workplace? It increases your value. Right there, that increases your value. You increase your value, you're going to get promoted. Okay? So disarming dissension with adults is the same exact thing as disarming dissension with kids. Same exact thing. How many of you parents just tell your kids to stop fighting? How well does that work? Stop bickering. Stop your arguing. How many of you have tried this? Why can't you guys just get along? Is it working? No. So you have to implement this skill. You have to implement this skill, okay? All right. So number one, you want to make sure you have the right heart and you have to have the goal. What's the goal, friend? Restoration. I can't hear you. What's the goal? What's the goal? That is the goal. That's the only goal. What's not the goal? Getting a confession. What's not the goal? Getting someone to admit that they were wrong. What's not the goal? You being right. That is not the goal at all. Okay, rubies, what's the goal? No, winning. Winning is the goal. How do you win with disarming conflict? Restoration. That's how you win. If you're trying to get a confession, trying to prove that you're right, trying to prove that somebody else is wrong, this is division in the team, and division will not win. Do you hear me? You cannot win with division. You can only win with unity. Okay? So, rubies, what's the goal? What's the goal? Winning. And what's the play to win? Restoration. Restoration. What comes out of restoration? Unity. The team will only win if the team is unified. Okay? The team will only win if the team is unified. All right. So that's the goal, is restoration. The goal is winning. How we win is through the plan of restoration. Okay? So that means we have to weigh ego with humility. Which one do we want? Humility wins every single time. All right. So you keep your emotions out of it. Conflict is nothing but a task list that needs to be solved. That's all it is. It's just a task list. The emotions, your emotions are not needed to solve the problem. Okay? But your focus of restoration is what's needed. All right? And again, conflict is natural. Did you hear me? Conflict is natural. And it's not a bad thing. Write this down also. When you go to meet with them and we're going to address what was said, this is really important. This is not an attack against your character. This is feedback. And feedback is not an attack. Feedback actually helps you succeed. Feedback brings success. Feedback is not an attack. Feedback brings success. Thus, the feedback form we give you, and we give you the privacy even not to put your name on it if you want to fully unload on us. And we take it to heart. We're like, okay, that's interesting. This is amazing. Okay, I'm going to work on that. And there's some things that's like, we're not going to work on that. That's not a part of what we are. Meaning, Danny, I wish that you would be more religious. Sorry, not going to do it. I have somebody else. Danny, you shouldn't say what's going wrong in the church. It's not very good. You know, pastors don't appreciate it. Sorry. Pastors didn't appreciate Jeremiah either. And the Pharisees hated Jesus. They didn't like Elijah either. The list goes on that when truth is spoken, it divides. And judgmental people don't like it. So I'm not here to feed the judgmental. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have been wounded in church? Raise your hands. Look around the room. These people have been wounded by church people. Guess who our market is? The wounded. Everyone else is going after the people who want to fake it through life, Who's in this room? The people who are tired of faking it and ending up empty. They're tired of being sitting in fancy pews with no purpose. They're sick and tired of being spoon-fed a bunch of milk, toast, lily white, fantasy land stuff that doesn't work. Who's here? Are people want to just tell me what I'm supposed to do? And when they discover that, you're like, that makes so much sense. I knew it. How many of you have increased your walk with your God since you've been here? Wow, imagine that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's people looking for truth, not people looking for tickled ears. They can go anywhere on a Sunday for tickled ears. You want hard-hitting truth? This is where we're going to speak it. You're going to hear confession here. You ain't going to hear that over there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm not going to try to tailor myself to the church. Why? She's a mess. Why would I want to tailor to her? No, I'm tailored to who? I was wounded. Well, I'm calling out the wounded for what? Let's go back to our Father. Don't look to man, look to him. Don't look to man, look to him. Don't look to man, look to him. Read that book yourself. You're his follower. You're not a church follower. Do I go to church? Yes. Should you go to church? Yes. Absolutely. Do I believe in it? Yes, I do. And I believe it's a mess full of people who are messy. And at least we're telling the truth about it. So why? So we can own our mistakes and move our lives forward. Make sense? I just lost half the room. That's okay. Okay, you ready? It's all right. I'm good. I know who my heart is after, and it's the hurting. That's who my heart is after, is the hurting. And who want to not be hurting any longer. Okay, so here's how this is going to work. Number one, you are going to confront the issue with each other. So now we know my position, my heart, my position is to win. How I win is through restoration. So person number one is going to confess to person number two. And I'm going to give you the script to use to make this confession, okay? So person number one is going to own it, okay? You're going to own it. And you're going to say, I have something I need to talk to you about that I'm not proud of. And before word gets around to you, I want to ask you to forgive me. So number one is owning it, take full responsibility. Please forgive me. Please forgive me because I really messed up. I take full responsibility for what I've said. Number two. You're going to confess. I said some things that I am not proud of. And I was wrong. Number three. Starts off, the truth is, and you're going to edify the person. It's not on your sheet. It's not on your sheet. The truth is, now you edify the person. The truth is, I think you're an amazing person. Look at the sacrifice you made to get here this weekend. You believe in your family. You believe in a better future. You obviously have 2% blood in you. You made a commitment to yourself and to your family here this weekend. And honestly, I consider it a privilege to be around you because there's not a lot of people on the earth that are like you. How many of you feel that way about the people sitting in your circle? How many of you feel that way? So this is the truth. Number four, will you forgive me for what I've done? That, by the way, is a closing question. Will you forgive me for what I've done? Number five, ask for accountability. Moving forward, would you be willing to hold me accountable? That if I ever come to you with something about somebody else that is not edifying, would you be willing to call me out on it? I give you full permission to let me know that I'm off track, because I need to fix this habit that I have, because it's wrong and it's hurtful. And I don't want to be the same person. Okay, so I'm going to repeat it. Number one, I want to bring something to your attention before it gets to you. I have done something that is horrible. Please forgive me. For I've said some things that are wrong. I take full responsibility for what I've done. Number two, I did say some things that were just wrong and they're horrible and I feel bad about it. Use your own words along that line. You're getting the gist of what I'm saying. At that point, at number two, this is where you give them the opportunity to hear what you said, or if they want to wait till it comes around them. Okay? So you can say, would you prefer if I tell you what I said so that if it does get back to you, you know directly from my mouth what I did say? Or would you rather not and just know that I was not nice, I was terrible, and I was wrong? So give them the opportunity to say, no, I don't want to hear it, or to say, yes, sure, go ahead and tell me. Okay? Honor them in that. They don't have to hear it. Okay? So all of you can be comfortable. You don't have to hear what somebody said, okay? But you can hear the confession. All right, so number three, the truth is, now you're going to edify them. Truth is, I believe in you, and I think you're really amazing, and I consider myself very blessed to be able to work with you. Number four, will you forgive me for what I've done? And then shut up. Get the answer. Will you forgive me for what I've done? Looking them in the eyes, friend. Will you forgive me for what I've done? Number five, will you be willing to hold me accountable if I ever come to you with derogatory information about anybody? Please call me out on it, because I am really working on this. I do not want to be this person. I do not want to act like this. This is not good character. Okay? That's your script.
What if they say no?
If they say no, you say, that's okay. I understand. I understand. And guess what? What is that? That's on them if they're not willing to forgive, right? That's on them. That's not on you. You did your part of asking for forgiveness. You did your part of confession. You did your part of owning your mistake. Do you hear me? You did your part. So if someone doesn't forgive you, although it is painful, if someone doesn't want to forgive you, the only reason why it's painful is because you're not realizing the real one who is forgiving you. Do you understand? You are already forgiven right away. When you've asked for forgiveness, you are already forgiven by the one that decides your fate in life. So you are already free because you confessed it. You're already healed because you confessed it. If that person isn't willing to forgive, I can guarantee you that person won't forgive other things that other people have done to them their entire lives. They have a habit of resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness, and that's on them. That's not on you. Do you understand? So that's on them, and that's okay. And then that's how you know I need to pray for that guy. I need to pray for him. Okay? All right, cool. So if they say no, you just lovingly say, I understand. Because how many of you have not wanted to forgive somebody before? So do you understand? So I understand. I get it, and that's okay. And give them the space to be that way. That's okay. Okay. All right. Now, here's the script for those of you who are about to receive this confession. Number one,
First of all, write this down. It's really important. The greatest leaders in the world are great at confessing their mistakes. And they're quick to confess their mistakes. They're quick to take responsibility. Right now in Nicaragua, a civil war has erupted. The people against their president, who has become a dictator. The president just got on television and denied all the crimes that he has committed against his people, the murders that he has done to innocent people. So here's a prime example of terrible leadership. The president doesn't like anybody else's opinion but his, and he refuses to listen to the opinions of anybody else. That is a dictator. That's a leader who is a dictator. That he decided he wants to cut off Social Security from the elderly, and the people rose up, the young people, the students rose up and said, no, this is not right. You cannot do that to my grandparents. So because these people had silent marches, the president ordered shootings. They were killing one after another. Over 66 are dead young people in Nicaragua because they had silent marches protesting against this change that the government was going to make. The president has also ordered for the stores to be looted of anyone that does not support him. So the army and the police have gone into stores and looted the grocery stores. Now this president is starving out the Nicaraguan people, literally. He's taken the food away from the children in the schools. Some of them only get one meal a day. This is what a dictator does. This is what somebody does who does not accept other people's opinions. This is what somebody does who is not quick to confess their failures. What we see with President Daniel Ortega doing in Nicaragua, that is what is in all of our human nature. So as a leader, you want to become one that confesses quickly. Number two, don't receive other people's crap. And number three, take the opportunity to quickly forgive. Take the opportunity to quickly forgive, release, and bless. So here is your script that when someone makes a confession to you, there's a beautiful script that brings restoration. And here it is. And by the way, I taught this to my kids. This is what I did with my kids. That when somebody did something wrong, they had to own it. This is what I did. Your kids come to you and they say, well, he, but she, and they point the finger. So the rule in my house and in my office is, don't tell me what Joe did. I want to hear what you did in response. I'm going to give them the opportunity to confess what they did. But I want you to confess what you did, because we're responsible for our response. So, number one, I forgive you fully. You say those words. I forgive you. And I fully release you. And you owe me nothing. Number two, thank you for your confession. You can say it takes a lot of courage to confess. So I admire you for that. I will hold you accountable. Number three. Number four, would you mind holding me accountable too? Because I'm working on the same thing. And finally, number five, edify them back. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. For half of this exercise, We're going to do it this way. We're going to switch gears through this second half where you are going to pull people together to confront an issue that you have heard about. So you're the one that I heard that there was some gossip going on, and I'm going to teach you how to go in and confront that issue. So this one right here is right now is you're going to the person yourself to say, I screwed up, right? So that's this way, okay? So person one and two. So person number one is going to confess to person number two, and person number three is going to confess to number four, okay? You have 2 minutes. There's going to be a two-minute bell. Hold on. And then there'll be a 30-second bell for the forgiveness, okay? So just start with the 2 minutes. Make your confession. Go for it.
If you told me the truth, I'd still stand with you. And if you told
able to get through your confession? Okay, good. Now, person number two and four, you go through that script of I forgive you, I bless you, okay, I totally release you. Go through those five things. You have 30 seconds to forgive. Go for it now. Now you switch. So person number two is going to confess to number one, and four is going to confess to number three. Go for it.
If you told me the truth, I'd still stay. If you told me a lie, I would not despise you. Don't be afraid. I'm not gonna run.
Chad, it's a 2 minute bell. It's okay. Keep going.
Don't be afraid.
That was the 2-minute bell. Now the other people need to forgive. So go ahead. I forgive you. I release you. Go for it. Okay, now we're going to switch gears. Really? Praise God. I'm so happy you feel so good about this. You're going to feel even better about this one. Okay, how many of you have ever felt tension in a relationship before? Okay. How many of you felt tension in your marriage? You felt the tension with your kids? You felt the tension at work? Okay, you can feel it, right? Okay. So it's another place where you're going to be able to rise up in your leadership and know how to confront that issue, okay? And I'm telling you, when you don't confront this, it gets worse and bigger. Have you noticed that? It gets worse and bigger. It gets worse and bigger. It doesn't go away. It gets worse and bigger. It gets worse and bigger, worse and bigger until somebody leaves. People quit because of it. They quit on their marriage because of it. They quit their job because of it, okay? So here's how this works. I want you to sniff it out. I want you, again, go offense, not defense. Most people just, like, they try to ignore it. They try to stay away from it. They try to just, like, let's slip that under the rug. Oh, no, this is a place where you get to rise. This is the place you get to score. This is the place you get to win, okay? Look for these opportunities. And here's how you do it. So now what we're going to do is one and four, two and three. So what I want one and two to do is I want them to sail into the conflict. Watch. I want you to sail into it. No, listen. So number one, locate number four. Number two, locate number three. Okay, perfect. So one and two are going, so number one is going to say to number four, something's been brought to my attention. And before it gets out of hand, I wanted to meet with you. That's your script. I especially want to communicate with you in management and leadership. Rubies, you have a tendency of getting really upset that this happens. I know. I'm talking to you directly, actually. You manage a huge crew. You do. And the more people that you manage, the more conflict arises. Do you hear what I'm saying? The larger your team is, the bigger your staff is, the bigger your family is, the more conflict arises. Why? Because anywhere you have two people, there's three conflicts. Write Write that down. You guys are all expecting for there to be none. Why are you so surprised at the painful trials in which you are suffering as though something surprising was happening to you? That's out of the greatest success book ever written. Why are you surprised? Why are you surprised? It's supposed to be there. It is for you to rise in your leadership, to lead your people better. Moses led 2 million people out of Egypt into the wilderness. You want to talk about conflict? Oh my gosh. Complainaholics. They need to have Complain Anonymouses. They needed a 12-step program for that crap. I almost said something else. It was a good... That stuff would have been better. So listen. Yes, I'm talking to you. Rubies. If you keep getting mad that this stuff is happening, you're missing your opportunity to make more money.
Thank you.
You're missing your opportunity to make more money. Because every time that happens, that means more money is on the table. What? Yes. More money's on the table. So what you're discovering is, okay, this is a squabble. This is a squabble. That means money's not being made. So what that means, it's ching ching. Every opportunity you have to disarm dissension means more money. Less stress. Pearls, every time you have the opportunity to sense this stuff out, more peace is on the other side. More harmony is on the other side. More fulfillment, more satisfaction is on the other side. Sapphires, it's a blast. It's like a chess game. It's like, literally, it's like a game. Like, oh, okay, let's see how this one works out. This is pretty cool. Because what you're going to discover is how different people think. And what always happens when you're able to confront an issue, when you do it with restoration, guess what you find out? Whoa, dude, so-and-so thought this, so-and-so thought this, so-and-so thought this. Whoa, different perceptions. So you actually get to learn how these different people think. And it also gives you strategy moving forward that, whoa, I know how they think. So I know now how to step in and give them the upfront, this is what's going to be taking place so that you can prevent the conflict. So now you go in with a strategy. Okay, guys, here's what's going on. Unfortunately, the building supplies haven't shown up today, which means that we're going to be behind now on the project. And I know how that makes some of you feel. Some of you, you hate the fact that it's going to be late and it really frustrates you. But I know that you're bigger than that. And I know you're better than that. And I know for some of you that right now, because of that, now it looks like we're going to be getting the supplies later. That means that we're going to be home late for dinner. But here's what I know. You are committed to this job. So why don't you leave now? Let's take a break. Go home. Surprise your wives. Give them a kiss on the forehead. Have a little roll in the hay. Meet me back here in 2 hours and let's have a blast together finishing up this project. Do you understand? It's all about positioning and presenting the vision, presenting the positive to the team because, yes, there's a problem. So it's how you spin that problem as to be a benefit to everybody versus, oh, gosh, again. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's like the family that the flight has been canceled and everyone's now in a big bad mood. Well, the right leader is going to sail in and go, guys, guess what? We're going to start a little game right here in the airport. Now, yes, we all want to get to Orlando so we can go see Disneyland. That's going to be a big blast. But I have a feeling there's something fun that we could be doing right now, right here while people are getting some other things in order. Again, what is this? It's a presentation of framing the mind on how we're going to look at the situation to take the best scenario out of the situation before we create the conflict. It's the pre-game talk. It's the post-game talk. Set the expectations. Give them a reputation that they can live up to. Tell them how they're going to win that day. When the day is done, tell them they did a good job. Pat them on the back. Point out and recognize the places where they really did a phenomenal thing. Day is done. That's how you build team. stop creating conflict. You can start preventing it by how you present it. So in this scenario, number one is going to go to number four, and you're going to say, something's been brought to my attention, and I wanted to get in touch with you before it gets totally out of hand. And I don't want to make any assumptions. So you're coming into this conversation with honor. I recently had to do this with my entire management staff. Everybody. And my heart in this conversation was for them to know that I love them, that I honor them, that I believe them, and that we're looking for complete restoration and the best possible scenario for all of us to be able to work together properly, to where we're pulling the best out of each other. Literally, just a couple weeks ago. And what script did I use? This one. Same script I'm teaching you right now. Some things have been brought to my attention. Before it gets out of hand, I wanted us to get together. Now, number two, confess your crap. What does that mean? I know that if there's a mess, there's a misunderstanding, I've had a part in it because I'm the CEO of the company. Do you understand me? I own the company, so therefore I own every single mistake that happens inside that building. I also own every mistake that happens outside of that building. I own every mistake that happens here. It all is a reflection to the brand. And that's the brand is my chief responsibility. Do you understand? It's our whole team's responsibility, but at the end of the day, the buck stops right here. So if there's conflict inside of my office and I'm getting wind of it, and it's conflict especially in my leadership, then I have to own that. So something's been brought to my attention. Before it gets too out of hand, I wanted to meet with you. And the first thing I want to say is I am really sorry, but I've heard that there's been some stressful things that has been happening between a group of you, and I want to apologize and ask you to forgive me. If there's anything I have caused in that, I want to make it right with you before we go any further. So please forgive me for whatever has happened inside of the work environment that has not been healthy and beneficial for you and your goals. Now, humility is the only one that can say that. Ego wants to say, well, it doesn't want to say anything. Ego wants to slap the people upside the head. Come on, how many of you want to slap people upside the head? Thank you. That's our human nature, by the way. That's our nature. We want to just slap people upside the head for not acting right. But what's that going to solve? Nothing. It's not going to solve anything, and that does not result in money. It doesn't result in harmony, peace, and fulfillment, okay? So, number one, something's been brought to my attention. Number two, I personally want to apologize for anything I have done to contribute to the stress of the situation. So that means you're coming to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, versus, why the heck can't you just pull your head out of your colon? It's better, huh? Number three, I wanted to know if there's anything that I have personally done that has rubbed you the wrong way. I literally just called one of my children and had this conversation. Also, I could feel the tension. I could feel that something's happened. Is there anything that I have personally done that has rubbed you the wrong way? Please speak freely, because I don't want any bad blood between the two of us. And whatever I've done, I want to make it right. Because I appreciate you, I believe in you, and I'm really happy you're a part of this family or team, whoever it is that you're talking to. Okay, so you got it? Number one, something's been brought to my attention. Before it gets out of hand, I just wanted to meet with you, to honor you. Number two, first of all, I wanted to say I'm sorry for whatever I have caused to bring stress into this situation. Any pain that I have brought in, I'm sorry that the working experience has not been a great one. Number three, is there anything I have done that has rubbed you the wrong way? And please speak freely, because I don't want any bad blood between the two of us. I believe in you, and I appreciate you, and I don't want anything to change our relationship. Okay? I have confessed this to my kids many times, to my husband many times, to my staff many times. Get good at this. And you know what? Okay, my personality is one that either I will suppress the I'm mad at you. Why can't you just act right? Especially me. Come on, look at who our staff is. Our staff are all graduates from First Steps in Dynasty. So to me, it's like, hello, McFly. You know what to do. Why aren't you doing it? Right? That the rule follower procedure policy. This is a policy. This is a procedure. Hello, how many times have you been into Dynasty? Do you understand? My secondary personality just wants to just hide it under the rug. I want to just go back to bed. I don't want to deal with this. I just don't like having these conversations. So if Danny Johnson, in these two personalities that do not like having these conversations, has absolutely no fear at all whatsoever in having these conversations. None. In fact, I had a really big sucker where I needed to let go an executive for some stuff. Just needed to let him go. Needed to be done with this relationship, right? It was over. There was plenty of talks. There was plenty of opportunities. Do you understand? There's plenty of opportunities for improvement. Hurting something. We're done. So it was really amazing. So my attorney, this is awesome. I said, okay, well, I'm about to walk in with these two high-level executives. And he's like, do you want me there? Do you want me to be a part of that conversation? Danny, I'll come in and I'll help you. No problem. I'm like, dude. I said, there are some things that I definitely could use help with, but this is not one of them. This is one area that I know that I know that I know that I have my father with me. I have a script in my hand, and I know exactly how to disarm conflict. It's not a problem. After I got the phone, I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. This was not me 15 years ago. Do you hear me? So you can do this, all right? So person number one, you are going to say this to person number four, okay? Is there anything that I have done, okay, right? So number one, two, and three, and here's what is going to happen. Person number four and person number two, what do you think you should do? Yeah. This is your opportunity to say, well, actually, I've actually said some things that are actually really wrong and harmful. And that gives you your opportunity to go through your script. Okay? Got it? Now, can you please tell me what face you should have when you enter this conversation? No. Person number one and two, okay? 93% of all communication is nonverbal. So what should your face look like when you are coming in to bring restoration? It's a smile. It's direct, soft eye contact, right? It's, hey, you know what? Some things have been brought to my attention here. Emeralds, follow me. Hey, some things have been brought to my attention. Come here. Follow me. Follow directions. Just, you're going to tilt your head. You're going to just kind of lean into this conversation. Emeralds, follow me. I know, sapphires, you already are because you love to parrot things. Okay. So, okay. You ready? You ready? It's like, hey, some things have been brought to my attention. Okay. And I wanted to meet with you before things just too get out of hand. Okay, so soft eyes, good smile, just like you're leaning in, you're very disarming. It's very important to be this way. Because if you come into this conversation of, hey, some things have been brought to my attention and I wanted to meet with you. It's not so much what you say, it's... So you can cause the person to rise up with defense and it'll turn into a fight, Mr. Summer. So if you're coming into this conversation with, listen, I had some things brought to my attention. It's time for you and I to sit down and have a talk. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. The good idea is, hey, you know, some things have been brought to my attention, and I was thinking we'd, you know, get together and just have a quick talk. Okay? Cool. Yes? Yeah, you want them to be honest with you. Okay. Yeah.
They should, even though they apologize for the gossip, because that's wrong.
Wait, I'm lost.
So let's say I gossip.
Okay, if you gossiped.
And you come to me and confront me.
Yes.
I can apologize for the gossip, but what I said maybe was true. And
Wait, nothing. What's true? What's.
If you say I want you to be honest with me, is there anything I've done?
Yes.
Would it be appropriate for me to go ahead and tell you?
Yes. Yes. So here she's asking, okay, so if someone came to me and said, you know, is there anything that I've done that has rubbed me the wrong, that has rubbed you the wrong way? She goes, do I tell them at that point? Yes.
Even though I would be apologizing, I didn't handle that right if I told someone else.
Well, and that's exactly what you say. I didn't handle this right. I was really wrong with the way that I did this. And I'm not proud that I handled this wrong. But there has been a couple of things that have rubbed me the wrong way. Yeah. 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 Own it. And say, and by the way, this has rubbed me the wrong way. This is my issue. Do you understand? This is my issue that it rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm seeking out why it rubs me the wrong way. Because my response was wrong and evil. And I should never respond that way.
And then edify.
And then edify. Exactly. Okay, so now we're going to combine these two scripts together. Okay? So person number one, you're going to say, you know, some things have been brought to my attention. And I just wanted to get together, you know, to, what did I say? Get together before things get out of hand. You know, before things get out of hand. Can you do that with you? Before things get out of hand? Okay. Just keeping it light, keeping it disarming. Okay. Then, what was number two?
Confess your crap.
Oh, confess your crap. Yeah. First of all, I'm really sorry for, you know, that this kind of environment hasn't been the greatest. Please forgive me for anything that I have caused to contribute to the stress of the situation. And is there anything that I have done that has rubbed you the wrong way? And please speak freely because I don't want anything to get in between us. I don't want there to be any bad blood between the two of us. Okay? Makes sense? Okay, cool. So then person number two and four, three and four, have the opportunity to say what? Actually, yeah, actually, thanks so much for, now that you mentioned it, okay, yeah, that's when you pout. I'm really sorry, I really screwed up, okay, all right, so that, then you go through that script. Now, hold on a second, did you two, you guys haven't talked to each other yet, so this is perfect. Perfect. That's exactly how that was supposed to go. Okay, so I'm going to give 2 minutes and 30 seconds, okay, because it's a 2 minute for four and whatevers and 30 seconds for that beginning part. 2 minutes, 30 seconds, go. Okay, was that enough time? How many of you say no? 30 more seconds, go. Okay, so now person number one and two, you now do the confession script. Yes, I forgive you, I bless you, I release you. Okay, watch. Let me, hold on. So what just happened was is that person one and two confronted the issue with three and four. And they said, some things have been brought to my attention, right? Some things have been brought to my attention. Before it gets out of hand, I wanted to get together with you. So then person three and four said, actually, there has been a few things and I'm not proud of it. You went to that script that you said before, right? You went to the script. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. I take full responsibility for the things that I've said. I did say some things actually to other people that I'm not proud of. I should have came to you first and I didn't do that, right? The truth is, edify. Will you forgive me? Will you hold me accountable? Is that what you just did? Perfect. So now the next step is It's back. The ball is back to person number one. Where person one is going to say what? I forgive you fully. I release you. You owe me nothing. Thank you for what you said. You have 30 seconds. Do it now. All right. Perfect. Awesome. Is 30 seconds enough time for you to go through that? How many of you say no? Then it is. There's like not even 10% of the room. It's probably the sapphires. I need to say more. I need to say more. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. So now we're going to change things up. So now one has confessed to two. Two has confessed to one. One has also confessed to four. Two has confessed to three. Yeah. In our first set of bells, one confessed to two and two confessed to three. That's done. One now has confessed to four. Two has now confessed to three. So now what we do is we switch chairs. One and two switch chairs. Okay. Now four and three are going to lead into the conflict. Okay, so four and three are going to lead in the conflict with the script that says, hey, some things have been brought to my attention. Okay, so you have 30 seconds to say that. That doesn't take long. It's like, it doesn't take long to say that script at all. Okay, and then there is 2 minutes for person one and two to confess what they did. Go. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, how many of you released and forgave already the person that just finished confessing? Most of you. Okay, that's, how many of you did not? 30 seconds, do it now, everybody else just hold. Hey, is this helping anybody? Okay, cool. Does it make sense? Is it sinking in how the flow and how to use it? Okay, so what you're learning how to do is you're learning how to rise up in a higher leadership than Daniel Ortega from Nicaragua. Sad, very sad. What you are able to do is right now you're walking in humility. It's going to take practice to own your crap. It's not natural for us. We have not been taught to do it. We have not. Clearly, we have not been taught to do it. We've been taught to deflect, defend, and blame. Since we were knee-high to a grasshopper, that's what we've been taught. So it is very counter against our nature right now. But I promise you, this is going to raise your value big time. Big time. I want to say something I'm not going to say. No. I'm just going to tell you that I could cry a river about it. I'll just say that. So I can tell you as a CEO that what I would desire more than anything to have on my staff is someone that I knew would do this, that would sniff out dissension, they'd sniff it out really fast, and they'd run right in and disarm it. Run right in and disarm it. Run right in and disarm it. That they'd be the protector and the advocate of the people. They'd be the protector of unity. You go home and you be the protector of unity. And that does not mean that you suppress conflict. That means you sniff it out and you bring restoration. Because the more times that happens in a given week, the more trust and unity comes together. And now the organization is moving seamlessly together. Revenue goes crazy high. People feel good about where they're working. People's focus stays on the vision. And now they're moving together as a unit versus a bunch of people divided against each other and my team this and that team this and they did this and they're not doing that. Or they're jealous of each other's opportunity. So that I literally could cry a river right now. For me personally, as a CEO, and I've been a CEO for 27 years, I can tell you that this is massive high value. So get good at this. Put it as a priority on your list to get good at this. Your organization will grow if you get good at this. Your family, you will have so much reward and happiness from your family. It'll blow your mind. Just recently, I was saying that to Hans, like, I cannot imagine getting any happier than I am right now. I can't imagine. Like, how could there be anything happier with my family than it is right now? We're talking the girl who wanted to walk so many times, who I used to say, this woman used to hear it, don't ask me about marriage. Don't ask me about family stuff. I suck at that stuff. I can teach you how to make $1 million, but that's all I can teach you. I don't know how to do anything else but that. And what did we have? A lot of single people with messy personal relationships, making money but could never sustain it. Why? Because when the family relationships are a mess, it pulls the money down. It does. So here's where we go. What I just saw was beautiful. You're amazing. You're amazing. Ah, it blesses my heart. I could cry. Seriously, that was really amazing. And you spoke directly into a place where... of her confession, which was so brilliant and beautiful. It's important to edify in the place of the confession, right? So here this woman had confessed, is okay that I say it? She confessed that prior to First Step success, she almost got fired on her job because she was lazy and that she had to go back and she had to make it right with the people that she worked with, right? So this is something that she had confessed and then something that she had said inside of this circle about laziness. And he wrote one of those things down as a jab, right? So then he said, the fact is, man, I've been watching you. But that takes so much courage and so much diligence and that is not lazy. But that's amazing that you had to do that. And so that deposit in that very place where there was a failure, he deposited healing. He deposited encouragement. He deposited edification in a place there was a failure. Do I do that? I thought so. Yeah, I thought so. That's probably why I picked it up. Right in that place, that valley that they're in, use that as a place to lift them up and tell them that how they have a strength in that valley. Yeah. And I could tell you, because her and I've had many of these conversations in 27 years that we've worked together and been friends, like sisters together. She's like the aunt to my children, right? And we've had lots of these conversations, lots of them. And that's why we're still together, right? And so where Jen has felt, or I have felt that I have failed, she is... spoken into that valley and say, look, this is why you're this, this, and this. Good. Do you know what I mean? Building up, building up, building up. I say, man, I keep messing that up. No, but look, this is where your strength is. This is where you're good. And this is where you're learning from it. And this is where you're going to grow. Does that make sense? And that's exactly what you just did with her, which was amazing. All right. So now we have four just confessed to one, right? Okay, so now you just switch. You switch it back. Thank you so much. All right, so now you're like, what do you mean I switch? No, hold on. Sorry. So can you tell me who just said, I've got something that I wanted to bring to your attention? Three said it to four. No, four. Thank you. So four said it to one. Okay, and three said it to two, but you guys switched chairs, remember?
That's right.
All right, so now one needs to say it to four. One says it to four, two says it to three. It's from the other side now, yeah. So one and two says, something's been brought to my attention. Before it gets out of hand, I want to talk. Go for it. Okay, friends. All right, we're going to play musical chairs one more time. Switch one and two again. I'm sorry, I forgot one. Switch one and two. Thank you. Okay, and it's four and three leading this time again. Okay, the point is I want to make sure all bad blood is cleared. That's the entire, and I want this script to become natural for you. That's why you're doing it so many times, okay? Okay, so number four and number three, you are going to lead into the conversation with, something's been brought to my attention. Go. Okay, could our amazing volunteers who are so awesome in the way that they serve with just such great hearts pass out what's under tab 2, and it's resolving conflict like a pro. Tab 2, it's the questions. As soon as you receive this handout, please go ahead and fill it out. Can I have you guys do something really quick? I want you to turn that paper over, and I want you to answer this question. What did you just learn from this experience? Write that down first. What did you just learn? What's the biggest takeaway that you just gained from this? There's a question I want you to write down on that paper on the back. Can I disarm dissension? Better question, can I get good at disarming dissension? Can I get good at disarming dissension? Should I get good at it? Should I get good at disarming dissension? Why? Why should you get good at this? Write down the reasons why you should get good at this. That was an auto bell. Another question I want you to write down is, what if I choose not to get good at disarming dissension? What will the result be if I choose not to get good at this? Okay, I want to drop a couple more bombs on you real quick. Before I drop the bombs on you, I want to charge you to work with your team in one thing that helps to also disarm conflict or disarm dissension, because I've been using two different terms, disarming dissension and resolving conflict, okay? Conflict is healthy, but when you grew up the way that I did, how many of you grew up in an abusive home? Raise your hands. Okay, everyone look around. Look at all of these people who grew up in abusive homes. Guess who is in your office? Other people who grew up in abusive homes. So how we who grew up in abusive homes perceive conflict. For me personally, conflict meant the ambulance was on their way. Do you understand? That's a trigger inside of me. Is that conflict, the screaming, the dissension, the pressure that is rising meant 911. Blood is about to be splattered everywhere. So you have people on your team that suppress conflict. They don't want anything to do with it. They're afraid of it. Do you understand? And this is the reason why, because it's a trigger right away. It's like, and so we get scared and we want it to go away. Do you understand? What I'm hoping to do for those of you who grew up like I did is to realize that conflict is actually healthy. What is not healthy is dissension, contention, and striving. That is what's not healthy. What's healthy is conflict. The world is filled with it. It's actually what makes the world go round. It's what wins ball games. It's what creates games, okay? It's strategy. It's important to have it. It's when you flesh things out, okay? What is not healthy is dissension, contention, and striving. And those of us who grew up in an abusive home, that's what we grew up around. It wasn't conflict. Conflict is healthy. It's supposed to be there. It makes us better. What does not make us better is contention, dissension, and striving. All three of those things are evil. So understand the difference between the two. So when conflict turns into contention, This is where people are now attacking each other's character. This is where we are assaulting people. This is where we are accusing people, assuming we know how someone else thinks. That is contention and striving. I hope you're understanding the difference. So for those of us who lead people, you have to understand there's a good percentage of the people that you're leading that have triggers like I do for contention and strife, for abuse. And you want to be aware of that. That actually helps you to understand, like, oh, hold on a second. So I'll give you an example, because Janet came from a divorced home and I came from an abusive home that should have been divorced in all reality. They ended up long after we were adults. For the protection of us kids, it should have happened way, way before it did. But Jen, we have a bunch of men on our staff. Our staff, our management staff is predominantly men. Cher and I are the only two females. I personally love working with men. I really, really love working with men. I love following men. It's a natural place for me. I actually prefer not to lead. I know that shocks everybody, but I'm telling you right now, my preference is not to lead. My preference is to follow. That's my natural love following, love to be led. Leading is a hard thing for me. It's a total switching of gears. Okay, here we go. Okay. Hope we're not going to crash into a building. Anyway, but when we started exploring this conflict thing, we have a couple of guys on our staff that are very aggressive. We have all rubies except for one. And we're talking intense, intense, intense rubies, just like my husband. And so these guys would start heating up, and right away, Jen would start going, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap. Like, fists are going to go flying here in 10 seconds. But these guys, two of them, are super close friends. And they'll go out for a drink and go out and play ball or something and go for a run together after this intense, heated, like, what is these two freaking bears being men? They're being men. And so I had to meet with Jen, because she's like, so this is just all right. She was like all freaked out and ruffled. And what I told her was, I said, Jen, they're men. It's something my husband taught me. That when our sons were being men, boys, especially when they were walking through that season of their body being flooded with testosterone, and here it comes. Here comes the aggression. Why? Well, first of all, I had a primary ruby son, and I had another son with a secondary ruby, so forget about it, right? Forget about it. And then I have a son who's just like me. He's full-on emerald pearl, and he's like, well, I'm out of here. No thanks. You guys go ahead and have fun with all of that, right? He's just not that guy, right? And he's actually one of the stronger ones, which is hilarious. The only one who's ever taken Hans down is the Emerald Pearl. Mm-hmm. It's the only one that has ever gotten Hans on the ground. Nobody else has. He's smart. It was total strategy. He looks for the moment. Got it. He finds the place where he's not paying attention. Boom. I actually caught it on video. It was awesome. Facebook Live, actually, is when I caught it. It was like, oh my gosh. So anyway, the point is that these two would go at it. And then, of course, I have a daughter who has a ton of pearl and sapphire. And so she would be like, peaceful, 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 peaceful. You push her, you push her. And Cabe loved to push, loved to provoke. Bink, 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 bink. And then, all the boys are afraid of Erica. Everyone's afraid of Erica, actually. They're like, watch out, right? See, a lot of patience. Like, okay, you're on the ground, you're toast, right? So anyway, but Hans taught me this, that when I would just be like, because they started doing their thing, and here it comes. What is it? The trigger, 911. Emergency room trip. Blood is coming. That's what would start to rise up in me. And he'd just say, honey, they're boys. I'm like, what does that mean? They're boys. They're supposed to do this. They're supposed to do this. This is testosterone. This is warrior. This is who they were bred to be. This is who they are. They need the space to be able to do this. They need the place to be able to do this. I'm like, outside. Go ahead. Beat the tree up. I don't care. No, seriously. So I did. I started having activities for them to be doing to get that testosterone out, to get the aggression out. Do you know what I mean? Not to get it out, but just to give it a place for it to be used. It had to be used. And so it really helped me when I needed to talk to Jen about, dude, they're men, and we cannot suppress their manhood. We can't suppress their manliness. So what we have to do, and I told her my issue, and she's like, oh, that makes perfect sense. It's like, okay, you guys have fun. Okay, they're doing their thing. They're, oh, 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 oh. You know, that's what they're doing. Oh! You know, they're doing their war cry. Okay, all right, they're doing that thing. Cool, awesome. Yes, we need this. These are the protectors. These are the fighters. These are the warriors. This is their place. This is their position. This is where they're supposed to be. Yes. And I love it. I absolutely love it. I really do. So men, be aware of the gems that are around you as well as the wounds of the people on your staff. Because everything is time and place. Do you understand? Everything is about comedic timing or time and place of when to roar like a lion. And I will tell you that your wife probably should not see you do that. This, yes, oh really? Yes. Especially a wife who has wounds like I do. Because right away, I'm scared. I'm scared and I'm scared of you. Yes, so it's time and place. Do you understand? It's time and place. And Hans has given me the chance to grow. So now I can handle it. Before I couldn't. And then accusations start flying. Contention starts building. Striving with each other. Dissension burning everywhere. Makes sense? Okay, cool. Is that good? I'm happy. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. It's very important when you're building a team to hear perspectives from the other people on the team. Rubies, listen to me. Your leadership will grow if you learn to lean in your ear to understanding of the people you live and work with. Emeralds, we can be so freaking, so badly judgmental. I stopped it. We can be so badly judgmental. And we can be very assumptive. And we have a box we want everyone to fit in. And it's not the right box, I promise. So hear me out. Leaning in your ear to the understanding of how other people perceive this experience for the concept of learning. I don't have to tell that to the pearls or the sapphires because they naturally want to know. But these other two personalities, guess who the leaders generally are in every organization? It's one of two personalities. Rubies and emeralds. Rubies and emeralds generally uphold a leadership role. Generally are the people who rule the world. That's typically who they are. It might be a ruby front man, but it's usually the emerald who keeps everything in order and moving smoothly and strategically forward behind it. My husband says that emeralds rule the world. That's his opinion, that emeralds rule the world. Okay, so, but hear me out. The leadership of a ruby and an emerald is stunted because we think our personalities are what everybody else should be and how things should be done. But we cannot move a team in unity. And it takes many more hours for us to do things because we don't listen. So we're going to practice right now a debrief. And the debrief is to lean in, to gain understanding, to see how other people perceive this experience, what it meant to them, what it moved in them, so that you can learn from it. So this is a time to, yes, practice the skills of honor, listening, everything you learned yesterday, but also to really learn. I want you to lean in to gain the perspective of others. The more you do that, the higher leadership you will have. Sapphires and pearls, please do not think for 5 seconds that because you're a sapphire or a pearl that you cannot be in a leadership role. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Just because majority is rubies and emeralds doesn't mean that there isn't a minority of powerful leaders like a Mother Teresa. who changed the world that she was in. Do you understand? Do you hear what I'm saying? So don't use your personality of, oh, I don't have the right personality. Yes, you do. It's not about personality. It's about skill. It's about skill. And all of us, no matter what our personality is, can possess the skill. There's plenty of sapphires who have changed the world with innovation. Plenty. It's about recruiting a team of what your weaknesses are to cover your weaknesses. Do you understand me? So every team needs all four gems. I'm just simply telling you that we, the emeralds and the rubies, tend to not reach our level of leadership because we tend to not lean in our ear to hear. Ready? 2 minutes each. Let's go backwards. Number four is first, three, two, then one. 2 minutes each. Listening skills. You're going to share what this exercise has done to you. You can use the questions on either side of the page as a guide or not. Just speak freely where maybe you have screwed up, where maybe that you learned something very powerful. Go for it. So rich, so rich, so rich, so good. Aww. I could keep going on this topic. I really could keep going on this topic, but I mean, you guys need to eat. Would you mind sharing, stand up please and say your name and where you're from. And you shared something in the very beginning that I don't think you necessarily need to read. But go ahead. What'd you get out of this?
I'm Frank. I'm from North Queensland, Australia.
Welcome.
And I'm so blessed to come over here.
Oi!
G'day, mate. How you going? Danny asked us what was the biggest takeaway we got from the exercise, and my first thing that came to my mind was how good it makes you feel within yourself to humble yourself and admit when you're wrong. It gives me a kind of inner peace, and it calms the anxiety that you get leading up to the confrontation, and just like, it's a calm at the end of the storm kind of thing.
That's an emerald, by the way. That's from an emerald.
Thanks, babe.
It's true. It does feel good to humble ourselves. There's a blessing in humbling ourselves. Keep going.
Yes, of course, we can all get good at disarming dissension. And why should we? Well, dissension disrupts production in your team of workers, kills the loyalty and respect from your children and your spouse. Nobody likes anyone flying off in the handle and having story of my life and having confrontations. So yes, we certainly should. And what if we choose not to? Well, if you want to go down that same old road that we've been on all my life anyway, then teams get broken up and families are not unified and it all goes bad.
Yeah. The next one I want you to focus on is what happens when your family, your coworkers see you participating with gossip and dishonoring people?
They're going to treat you disrespectfully. No one's going to have much confidence in you. People are not going to believe a grain of salt what comes out of your mouth.
Powerful. Really, really, really powerful.
Can I stop shaking now?
Frank, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so happy I sat in that circle. Between husbands and wives, where there's confrontation that needs to happen, just of personality, you know what I mean? Like Hans and I are absolute opposites in every way. Opposite. And he forever thought I was just like him. He did. It took him 18 years to figure out that I was an emerald. He thought I was a ruby like him. Most rubies think I'm ruby. Always. And they fight to prove that I am. They do. Seriously. Yeah, sapphire is my least. But I work on it on purpose because I tend to be a boring person. I do. I tend to be a boring person. Yeah, I tend to be a boring person. With a motorcycle is that whole reason. I'm trying to make myself have fun right into a building. So awful. But what I want to say is, and you actually, what you shared tipped me on this, and I feel like it's important for us to learn this together. And that is, it's not because of something that you just said, but being here with you, and I know how much I've watched, how much you and your husband have grown, and how you've used this exercise to bring healing in the family. But two things. They have grown children. I want you to say what you said. There's just so many of you that have, who has grown children, and you think it's too late, and you know, there's nothing you could do anymore. You're not their parents anymore. You're forever their parents. You are forever their parents, and you will forever have a voice into their ear, forever. That will never change. Go ahead.
Well, what I was talking about was what would happen if you don't do this. And we have Ruby sons, and so they go at each other all the time. Now they're older. They're 40 and almost 40, or two of them. And another one who's 10 years younger than another one 10 years younger than that. And we let things go within it. And it was things that they could work out as boys and stuff. But now it's come to the time where they're ganging up on one person. And what I wrote down is that my husband and I need to go to them. Yes. And we need to do this as a family. And we've got a family vacation coming up. And I can see that this is a good way to do within this, of just confronting that and stop letting it just go by and, you know, thinking that it's going to work its way out, that this needs to be confronted.
And if you don't...
And if we don't...
Listen.
It's going to break apart the family. And we're going to end up with people not speaking to each other at all.
And for generations.
And see it in our grandchildren and stuff, choosing sides and stuff. So we need to nip this in the bud now.
Amen. Thank you, Grandma. That's the legacy that we have to pass down. That it's just not an option. So me, even as a mother of grown children, I still do this with my grown children. Oh boy, there's a lie that entertains our head because we live in a culture that says they're 18, they're on their own now. You no longer have any authority, responsibility, nothing with them anymore. That is such a lie. That is such a lie. Yeah, it's a lie. It's a cultural lie. No, the truth is that we build legacy. In fact, when they turn 18 and they're adults, that's a whole nother set of training that actually you implement. Is into them as adults, as they're getting married, as they're in their work life, as they're starting businesses, as they're making decisions. Do you understand? You will forever be a part of their leadership council, and I will tell you, of the highest level of leadership council. So when it comes to disarming with your spouse, one of the things that is so important, and this is what you reminded me of, is that sometimes, and I love it, you two are married. Yeah, I love it. I saw the tears in your eyes, and I saw you so proud of your husband as he was saying what he was saying. I wish you could have seen the look on her face. It was so much admiration, so much respect as she heard the words coming out of your mouth and saw you saying what you were saying. So it was a really precious moment that I got to witness that. And she grabbed his butt, apparently. Good job, girl. Wait till Hot Marriage Secrets. You'll be grabbing more than that. Anyway, my point is that, so like Hans and I, we are opposite personalities, like as opposite as East is from the West. Our interest, our communication style, are what motivates us is exact. I mean, there couldn't be more opposite. Mine is 1,000% overboard for helping people. And his helping people category is, no joke, is a 3, mine's a 99. Okay? My economic, my motivation for money is like almost nothing. It's abnormal. And Hans's is a 99. So we're talking exact opposites in every way. What I will tell you is that my husband has an incredibly passionate, precious heart to help families not make the mistakes that we've made financially. And his heart is not about making money off of people. It's about teaching people how to make money for themselves and teaching people how to create wealth and generational wealth for their families. We both come from poverty, and we've made some terrible mistakes being led by some really nasty people who had crazy motives and saw us like, huh, there's a couple dumb young kids who don't know anything about the world. And we got taken for a ride many, many, many times by experts, if you will. Many times, and he'll share some of that with you. And that cost years of our life. And so he's very passionate about that. My passion is about the healing of the heart and the restoration of the family and the legacy. We both have a passion for legacy, just from two different directions. Not that his isn't that. I'm going to shut up. But my point is that what I had to learn to do was to confront issues and bring up things that were uncomfortable. But using a very similar exercise to this, so we just want to touch on it real quick. When there's somebody that, let's say, you feel that you've been hurt by, you feel like you've been dishonored. And by the way, guess what? That happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. And guess what else? So when I would feel that I was dishonored by my husband, or he hurt my feelings, where I screwed up is I had so much judgment in me that I was attacking from the pain of my wounds from my childhood. So it wasn't even clean. I didn't even have clean ears to hear what was actually being said. I just took it as an assault against myself. What I had to learn to do was, first of all, this whole restoration thing being the goal, right? That what is my goal? Is my goal to get a confession out of him? No. He's a ruby. Forget about it. Like, the goal is to win. And the win means restoration. And that we will be intimate lovers. That's the goal. The highest priority is our relationship. Not being right. That's the highest goal, is the relationship not being right. So then it would be in a tender fashion of saying, would you mind if I share something with you that's on my heart? I'm wrestling with something. And it's something that isn't right in me. Not attacking, you said this to me, you did this to me. No. I'm wrestling with my responses, and I'm finding myself to be really weak right now, and I can feel the tension boiling up inside of me, and I do not want to manifest like a demon, but I can feel it's coming on, and I don't want to say anything that will hurt you or harm you. And the fact is I know you love me, and I know you are for me, and I know that you love our family, and that you work hard for us, and you're dedicated to us. And I'm not happy with my response to some things that are going on. So is there a way you can help me work through this? Because I trust you. And I trust that you are for me and you're for our family. This started to bring restoration because Hans and I lived in contention and strife for a long, long, long time. Too long. So first it helped me to own my own feelings. Do you understand? Instead of saying, you make me feel like, you did this,
You keep saying this, and you keep going there, and you keep picking that thing up. That would end up in a war. Our marriage used to be moments of bliss separated by earthquakes and tsunamis and typhoons, sometimes all at the same time, and they would go on for months. Because I didn't know how, and Hans didn't know how to own our own feelings. But instead, we put our feelings on someone else. I loved what this young man said. His dad and his brother fight a lot. This is a sapphire ruby, by the way. That's a sapphire ruby sitting right here, which, by the way, make amazing business people. Phenomenal. Ruby Sapphire, Sapphire Ruby does awesome for business. They're great promoters. They're great at getting things done. They're amazing, amazing personality for business. But looking at you as a young man, confronting and owning that part, that you know what? There is a time for me to bring it up with them, and there's a time for me not to. And so what I would do is that when Hans was all like this, that's when I would go, bah! That was the wrong time and the wrong place. Yeah. So when the hornet's nest has been kicked, that's not the time to go in. Yeah. You're going to get stung,
yeah, right.
Right? You're going to get stung. So but instead, approaching it when there is a peaceful time. And that was such wisdom that you spoke, young man. Such wisdom. That, okay, it's his dad and his brother. And so look at this rising leader right here. I'm so proud of this young man. Because here he's like, he could be saying, that's my dad and my brother's problem. No, it's a family problem.
Right.
Do you hear me? It's a family problem. It's a team problem. It's a legacy problem. So here's this young man saying, okay, no, this is our problem. It's not just dad and my brother, but there is a time and there is a place to call the family together, to call the three of them together and just say, I love you. And we are all for this family.
Right.
And so can I help you? This is how we confront those issues. You first edify the people. You first edify them. You first edify the husband when an issue needs to be confronted, or you first edify the wife. You first edify the dad and the brother. You first edify the sons. And you speak to the higher nature of who they are. You speak to who you know them to be when they're walking in good character, which is majority of the time. Come on, friends. How many of us truly, the majority of the time, we do good, we aim to do good, and we walk rightly before our God? How many of us, we do that most of the time? But how many of us pound ourselves because it's maybe 10 or 20 or 30% of the time that we don't? So that's all we see. And that's all we pay attention to. But that's not how he sees it. You don't wake up trying to plot evil first thing in the morning and attempt to go do evil all day long. That's not you. That's not me. And that's not the people you live with either. You realize that? I hope that's sinking in. It's a small percentage of the time that we screw up. We don't screw up all day, every day, 24/7.
Right.
We're not 1,000% evil. We do have evil in our hearts, no question. The Bible says that. The heart is sick, and above all else is evil. There are evil things that do come out of us, but that's not our 100% of the time. So therefore, you want to give the benefit of the doubt to everybody else that you live with and work with of the same thing. And you want to speak to that. You want to give life to that. You want to birth more of that. So when this young man has taken ownership of, wait, it's our family. It's a family problem. It's not my dad and brother's problem. It's our family. And I can use timing to go in and say, we need to do something about this. So how do you do it? Edify first. Build both of them up and give the charge of you guys are men of vision. You men are both strong and you're warriors. And there's so much similarity between the two of you. And it's awesome and I admire it. And I admire your strength and your ability to stand strong on what you want to fight for. And at the same time, I know deep within my heart that fighting is not something you want to be known for.
Right.
And contention is not something you want to live in. But what you both want to fight for
is the harmony of this family and the win of this family. You want to fight for setting the right leadership example. So I don't know what's going on between the two of you, but it's obvious to all of us there's something. So is there any way we can just talk about it, get it out on the table, flesh it out, put it to bed and be done so that we can move forward and grow as a family?
So good. Yeah.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
Proud of all of you. Every single one of you said so many great things. You saying that, yeah, gossip. I'm not necessarily the one who passes on, but I have a tendency of listening. And I have thought like, okay, well, I'm not passing it on, but I'm listening. But I realize this is not good. I can actually do this instead. I can actually confront the issue. I can pull the peoples together and we can have this conversation. This whole thing was so powerful. Awesome job, guys. I wish I could have been in all the circles to hear you. All right, we're going to go to lunch. We're going to have an hour and a half break for lunch. Look at your watches. Well, sapphires, don't do that. It might not be working. 2:50. We'll be back here at 2:50. And boy, do I have a couple of surprises for you. Keep the chairs where they're at. Don't turn the chairs around. Keep them just as they are.